The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Free agency opens March 11th, and we're getting ready. All these rumors flying around and
rumor has
speculation,
it.
Reports, sources, all this stuff, not just for the Patriots, all over the league. Some teams are acting early, extending players, signing guys that are, you know, on the street. But Patriots have been quiet in that sense. You know, there's no reports of actual offers being given to Aqib Talib or Vince Wilfork or Julian Edelman. We assume that they've sat down and talked, but nothing on paper yet. So we'll see what happens. My prediction here, the Patriots will be very aggressive as soon as free agency opens. It'll be reminiscent of 07 when as soon as the new season started, they had Kyle Brady and Sammy Morris already signed. Now, I'm not, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Aggressive with quality players or just aggressive
signing? Well,
they
thought they were quality players. But
you know who they really thought
07,
was?
Dallas
Thomas.
If
they give me a backup tight end and a backup running back
and
they sign him quick,
that's not
aggressive. I don't give a rat's ass.
Okay, well,
if you go get me Jared Allen as free agency opens and you go get a corner and you're being aggressive there,
right,
okay. But don't give me aggressive backup running backs.
They will be
Jonathan Dwyer. Woo!
There will be quick moves made very
early. You're changing your wording already.
All right, yeah,
you're not saying aggressive, just quick.
I think that they'll be.
Because aggressive means a decent player.
I think that there'll be players that. You say, okay, he could help. All right.
I don't want to say he could help.
That's
want to say
aggressive.
Woo-wee! We no longer suck a game.
That's status quo. Because I'm going to guarantee that we'll sign somebody soon, and Fred will say, oh, yeah, okay, he could help.
And I might even say that, but I want to be excited.
I do, too. I want to get Jared Allen. I want to, you know, interesting one that raised my eyebrows. Champ Bailey, it looks like, is going to get released. And he said
he's
he'd be
done.
Open to play safety. Okay. You know, maybe he doesn't have the wheels left for
but what do we do with
him? But, you know, you bring him in here to
and
play
safety.
And
it helps
safety?
Not at all.
What do you mean it doesn't help? How do you
We
know?
Have McCourty as our free safety. We have another corner trying to play safety who's not what we want.
Can McCourty not play strong safety?
No, he's not a strong safety either.
Why? He's a good tackler.
He's an okay tackler, but he's not a hitter. I can't even remember the last time I saw him lay a hit.
I don't know.
We've been talking for 3 years now. We want to bring in Rodney Harrison wants a safety like me, a guy who can hit and be physical.
Big dude.
And we're going to bring in a Hall of Fame corner, pussyfooting corner.
I would take the pussyfooting corner, though.
I wouldn't necessarily want to start.
It's not
something I would go out of my way to do, but I would absolutely take him, despite the fact that for like 3 years we've been saying how Champ Bailey's
done.
As a corner.
Right. Forget the lap. He's done.
I mean, I would rather have him on the field than Kyle Arrington most times.
I would as well.
So then,
I don't know.
You know, I don't know either, but it does open up the possibility when Dennard in the number one corner, whoever that is, goes down,
what
you don't have to move Arrington out of the slot. You move Champ Bailey into the corner position. So I was intrigued by, you know, the idea of him playing safety.
So you just said something that I want to rewind to. The number one corner and Dennard. So you are sure they are going to sign a number one corner or have a number one corner?
Well, if they don't, I have really...
The sky is falling.
I have... Not sky is falling, but...
That's how I feel.
I really think we've reverted to...
Remember how sucky we were two years ago?
I think we've reverted to that defense that can't cover.
And our offense isn't good enough anymore. So now we really just suck.
Right. So, you know...
Oh, no.
My feeling of the Patriots... My feeling of the Patriots going into 2014 is we're a few players... away from being right back in there, Super Bowl contender.
Agreed.
But without those players, it could be a very bad season. What I mean by bad season?
8-8.
A 10-6 season, one and done, to me, is a bad season because you're going in the wrong direction.
I agree.
That would be a bad season, in my view.
Ooh.
You're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. When was the last time we considered the Patriots in our preseason issue for teams on the way down?
I'm not saying that they are going, but I'm saying if that is.
We do that in August.
Yeah.
It comes out in early September, late August. So at that point, we'll basically know how they have constituted this team in the roster.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a number one corner and they weren't as aggressive as youth, whatever, is there a possibility we could include the Patriots among teams on the way down?
I mean, 10 and 6 means...
I agree. No chance we'd do that.
No.
They might be,
in our
but
minds,
we won't.
Yes.
You know, so...
You always had that division to fall back on.
I think right now,
yeah, but Fred's right. If you win the division at 10-6, and only because it's a crappy division, and then get your ass whooped in the first round of the playoffs, you're on the way down.
Yeah.
You went from three straight AFC title games to a one and done. You're only in there because you don't play anybody.
Yeah, barring a problem with Brady, you're not going to go 10-6.
Because he's good in the regular season.
I think
against that division.
I think if you don't make these moves on defense, you're going to lose some games that you thought you should have won, and now you're 10-6 all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy.
They will lose a game that you thought they should have won, because that happens every year. But they won't lose enough of them to go 10-6.
Including 2007. Happened to be the Super Bowl.
Happened to be the most important one. But I mean like the Jets last year. The Jets is
a game that you didn't expect to lose. Whoever you line up, they're going to lose one of those.
Right. They lose one of those every year. A couple years ago, they lost to Buffalo to snap the long, like, 15 in a row that they'd beaten Buffalo.
Would you have the ability to win games against teams like New Orleans and Denver that you won last year? And maybe not if you don't have the defense.
Yeah, but they don't play enough of them to go 10-6. That's my point. There's not that many good teams in the league. Patriots are better. I mean, put another way that might make you a little bit happier. I think the Patriots are better than most teams, even with all the things that you're talking about as being problems. Does that make you feel better? Because that's how I feel.
Well, that would make them 10-6. What I'm saying is if you're 10-6 and you lose in the first round, you're going in the wrong direction.
Well, if you lose in the first round, you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I don't care if you go 14-2. If you lose in the first round, you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but things can happen. You know, crazy, you know, bounces the ball can make, you know, even the biggest of favorites lose against an inferior team.
If they had lost to Denver in the first round, just the way they lost to Denver, you're going in the wrong direction. You got your ass kicked in the first round. That would be a bad opening round loss. There was nothing fluky about that game. No balls bounced a funny way. No, they just kicked your ass. They drove up and down the field. They owned you. If you're doing that, if you're not advancing,
you're going the wrong way.
I agree with you. 10-6, first round knockout, you're going in the wrong direction.
That's one question.
I just don't expect that to happen.
It's two fewer wins in the regular season. Just think of what we would say of the New York Jets.
You go to three straight AFC title games, and then you get one and done. Look, they're falling. See, we knew it wouldn't last, and they couldn't keep that up. You're going in the wrong direction.
Right. I think that the one and done is a possibility because I think in the playoffs you can lose. But I don't think the 10-6 is a possibility.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Are we still in the Subway Fresh broadcast studios?
It says live from Subway Fresh broadcast.
It hasn't been up there for 2 years.
Well, it's like the Sullivan Tire Rush
Report.
Kevin's
on the phone.
I don't think we do that anymore, right?
Yeah, but the only one who thinks we do is him.
You know.
You put that on your little thing.
He said he didn't know if all were up to date.
I don't believe it was that at all last year, was it?
Sullivan Tire?
That was 12. It's been a long time since I was told not to say Sullivan Tire.
Yeah, I said it last year in some of the ones that I was by myself.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're supposed to.
No. No, I was told after one of them at some point. But
what Andy's referring to is that we had our annual content summit yesterday with all the departments to talk about 2013 and what we think we should be doing in 2014. So there.
So yeah, we'll see.
So was a big word in that context.
It always is with these geeks. So and diving deeper.
When did deeper that dive. Phenomenon start?
What?
So starting sentences with so for the wrong reason.
And mostly among geeks, it seems.
The grammar police is out.
I don't know.
No. This is just annoying
to me. To me, it's a lot like starting a sentence with, like, but you all do it.
All you geeks do it. That would be like a personal crutch. Everybody has those that they do things.
I do that.
But all you geeks say so.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And you actually don't do it. You actually don't do it.
You didn't.
I probably have. I'm sure I have.
You brought out dive deeper.
Dive deeper.
A couple times.
You didn't do it yesterday. Because I was
deeper dive.
I was definitely.
Paul and I were keeping track.
Now on Monday, when the NFL people were here, there was one particular person from the NFL who did it literally before every single one of her sentences, every one of her topics.
Right.
On one person, her topics. So now narrowed it down.
Well, there were two women at the thing, and people don't have any idea.
But we've eliminated. No idea who we're talking about.
We've eliminated one. And so
nobody in the listening audience knows who we're talking about.
Right.
And Alyssa.
On Wednesday. See.
No one's listening, so you don't have to say that.
She says so. It's not the biggest thing in the world.
Mr. Prim and Proper over there. And then yesterday, there was an element of the people that were at the content meeting that were using so at the beginning.
So.
I was going to go with bean counters, but I changed my mind.
Because that's not something I heard growing up.
To me, now you bolted in. There's two ways of using that so, like, almost so. Like, well, you said this, so, and that's the way to start it. Like, almost kind of putting the other person on the defensive, and the other way is less, you know, I don't want to say hostile, but it's more neutral.
But it was.
I don't find.
So
it
I was
hostile.
Walking down the street.
No,
the
it's
other
not
day.
Hostile at all.
I didn't find it hostile.
It's misused.
It was very strange.
Filler. It's a misused filler, though.
Fred, you know,
but I think
how
of it.
How
as
do people get in touch with this?
Formulated.
Right, it's
program.
A filler.
So
but you either use well,
like you don't
or,
mean a so then.
Right, or nothing,
or nothing, or you just stop and think.
Just think, and so, then start your sentence.
So was meant to
a
be used
later.
In, as a result.
Right. So.
People are carrying a lot of them. You know, why are people carrying a lot of umbrellas around?
Well, that's what I mean. You know,
it's raining outside, so
people
want to keep
say
dry.
So meaning, well, as a result of what you just said. Now I'm going to say this,
but,
or I'm going to think this.
But if you haven't said anything and somebody is talking to you and they leave
right,
it so?
Right,
so.
Yeah, the grammar police
is going to need you to come
live
in
and
Saturday.
Well. People are like, heads are exploding.
But they're actually not.
But what about to leave?
So about to leave. Right.
Just to go one more second down this road, did you see how they're making like the SATs like less difficult? Grammar's not going to be as big a deal. History's not going to be as big a deal.
Well, they're taking out some of those words that no one uses and putting in words that are kind of part of the language.
So, like so. It just seemed to me like they're modernizing it, which is sort of cheapening it and bastardizing it.
The whole education system needs to be blown up. Anyway.
That'll be the next segment.
Besides the Champ Bailey thing, there was also a rumor out there that Dante Hightower's number is being discounted in the NFL Pro Shop online.
Discounted.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the Patriots are going to get rid of Dante Hightower. First of all,
where is this rumor? Because I missed this.
I hadn't heard
it. It was on one of those blog sites, but it hasn't been discounted in the Patriots Pro Shop.
And we're the only ones that matter.
But there is rumors that. They know pretty that much, Spikes is gone, and that Hightower wants to have 55, so he's gonna switch to 55.
I thought you meant because they were looking to get rid of him.
Well, that's one of the speculations out there.
They're not gonna get rid of him. Yeah. They'd have no linebackers.
Yeah, there's no way
Spikes
they're getting
is
rid of
good
Hightower.
As gone. Yes.
Yeah, that's, but there's
Spikes,
no way
yeah,
they're getting
Hightower.
Rid of Hightower.
No, he's gonna be a starting middle linebacker.
Right.
On a rookie contract.
Right. Who and for as much as we are disappointed. He does not suck.
No. I think he's gotten better. I really do. I think
he has.
He was one of the guys that trended upwards as the season went on.
Second half of the season was better than the first.
Correct.
Absolutely.
He also may be suffering, though,
year
from
three jump.
Inflated expectation because of where he was drafted.
Sure. You know,
if he were a second or third round pick, you might not be as
expectation
critical of his play.
Not inflated. Expectation. It's fair. They traded up for you in the first round. You're going to bring expectations. It's not inflated. It's not unfair to you.
No, inflated meaning like he was.
I know
they traded up for him.
Eric, I know what you meant. He's just
he shouldn't have been drafted
that
high.
It's being Indy.
Yeah.
It's the beard. It's dragging his head down.
Right. And then what was the other rumor out there? Well, we know the Colts signed, who's it, Tequell Jackson today?
Yeah, a lot of money flying around. I feel like this little bump in cap and feels like a lot of money. The kid from San Diego got like $28 million guaranteed for an inside linebacker.
Donald Butler.
Dequell Jackson got good money.
And we should explain the reason why he was available for the Colts to sign right away was because he was released.
Right.
By the Browns, if you're a veteran, best veteran, and you're released, you can sign at any time.
Correct.
With anybody. You don't have to wait for,
like, Steve Gregory.
Could. March
11th. Steve Gregory could sign with someone right now.
Yes, he could.
If he wanted to. And if they wanted to.
Another, as we're throwing everything out there, did you see Ryan Mallett through for the Arkansas Pro Day yesterday?
Oh, is that right?
And in the write-up about the pro, didn't exactly wow the people who were watching him throw.
We wouldn't draft him.
Well, they were joking a little bit about...
Oh, wait, he's been in the league for 3 years?
They were kind of criticizing he still looked sort of soft and not really like he'd gotten stronger in NFL work and stuff. They still wowed about some of his throws, his deep outs and different things because he... I mean, that's what he'll
he's got an arm.
He'll be 80 and he'll be able to throw a cannon.
Yeah. You know.
See, I told you I liked my boy Jeff Howe.
Oh, you know, now it's his boy again.
From the Herald that you guys always make fun of me. Fred calls me the Kingmaker.
Is he a king?
We'll get it to current topics. The Darrell Revis situation, yeah. Fred, that you've been all hot and bothered about. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe wrote an interesting piece today. sort of, you know, not just throwing it out there, but saying how the Patriots could make it work if they were to make a deal with Tampa Bay for Darrell Revis. They could certainly do it financially. We'll get into that as we talk about it. But so, you know, that created a little bit of a stir this morning, in Boston. Morning.
You did have a little bit.
Did I have a little?
This morning,
yeah. I told you, every once in a while, it just comes out.
Mighty Wild.
That's how I talk. That's how I grew up
talking.
So anyway, it created a little bit of a stir, and Jeff Howe says on Twitter a couple of minutes ago, still waiting for a reason to actually connect the Patriots to Darrell Revis. So far, nothing. So, which is, you know, I think a veiled shot.
Well, yeah, but that article not connect them.
No. But then it moves on.
That's unfair. That's an unfair. If it's a swipe at Volen, it's unfair.
About a minute later.
There's plenty of things to swipe at him for.
Pat should get J.J. Watt, too. Maybe Bill O'Brien owes Belichick a favor.
No, but see, that's like, unfair.
You know what's really unfair?
That's not so veiled.
That's unfair.
This is the guy who said that Larry Fitzgerald was available for the right price a couple years ago when there was nothing for him to... That's not fair. That is a cheap shot from Howe.
35 seconds ago, maybe dig up Sue while they're on the line, too.
Yeah, see.
He just hates Volen, apparently.
That's just not.
Because he fired back pretty good at the combine, too, when Volen tweeted that, you know, Belichick and Schiano were together.
Right.
Howe was the one who sort of fired back, criticizing there's nothing really to that.
Look, Volen's piece was nothing more than just something to think about. It was just.
Yeah, but why are you thinking about it? Why didn't he write a piece about how J.J. Watt's contract could fit here?
He said in the article, in his opinion, the Patriots should do it.
But where did it come from, other than us?
No, I think that, look, there's been a lot of speculation out there about Revis might be available because of the
cost.
Yes,
that's where this is different, is Revis is available.
But why is it Patriots and Broncos are like the immediate people? Like,
well, because the Broncos just let go Champ Bailey and because the Patriots probably or might be without Tlaib. So these are two teams.
And you would think it would need to be a good team.
The Broncos have two corners on their roster right now.
You'd think it would be a good team.
But what about the Bengals? I haven't heard them to the Bengals, and the Bengals have like $40 million in cap space.
Well, it could be, but I'm just saying that these are two teams that need a corner.
But where did it come from? When did it leave? We've been talking about it for months now, joking. I'd put a deal together, I'd trade for Revis, to other people talking about it.
What are you saying?
Why do you
think
like,
where did
corner on the market
from?
I'm talking about that.
Like, I don't understand what you mean. Like, where did it come from? Where did what come from?
Where did Patriots Revis come from?
He doesn't connect them.
No. It's been on sports talk radio for 3 days now. Something had to have been the impetus to move from PFW and
Progress. Because he's ostensibly available, and people are wondering, could the Patriots get him? It's as simple as that. I don't understand.
See, I don't understand it. I think there's a million guys that might be ostensibly available that no one's talking about.
Of Revis's caliber?
That, you know, the Boston Globe is writing a contract breakdown, and Felger and Maz are spending 4 hours
Someone, a difference-making player like Darrell Revis, could be, Larry Fitzgerald was the previous guy that did this for 3 years.
This was totally organic. There was no report. There was no nothing.
I think
a report saying that the Patriots are interested in trading for Darrell Revis.
Says,
not that I know.
Patriots should sign him. Why is Revis any different?
But not to the point where it's again 4 hours of a Boston sports talk radio station, and then a day or two later,
because
the Boston Globe breaks down
the
contract.
I think if Tlaib was under contract, we wouldn't be talking about it at all. I think it's because of the Tlaib situation. There's an opening there.
Okay.
And if you're going to lose the second or third best corner, maybe you should go for the best. I think that's where it comes
so
from.
So why, like, my Peppers. I want Peppers. Right. I want him to get cut. We have a need at
well,
a veteran pass rush.
We know where that came
rush.
From. Vic Carucci said it was a done deal.
No, but why isn't there that now? By all accounts, he's going to be cut in Chicago. So why don't you just trade for Peppers, redo his contract, you ensure that no one else can sign him.
But maybe,
but I haven't heard 4 hours of Felger and Maz on the Julius Peppers front.
But maybe the Bears aren't interested in trading Julius Peppers.
So the Bucks are on record saying they're going to trade him.
I think that they have been, yeah.
Okay, because I didn't know that. Maybe that's where it's from.
I think that he... I can't think of the guy's name. No.
Is there GM?
A writer.
Stroud.
Roy Cummings, maybe?
And Goings.
From the Tampa Tribune?
It's a good blog entry.
He might have been the guy that said that the Bucks were, and it was a while back, it was, you know, saying the whole thing with the mechanism for the contract, that's March 13th, mm-hmm. the roster bonus. It doesn't really make any sense for them to do it after that because they would have paid that bonus right. and all that stuff. So if they're going to do it, now, it may be a pipe dream, which I totally am with Andy on now.
Yeah.
In terms of would the Patriots even consider it? I doubt it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the Bucks want to trade him. I'm not sure that it makes much sense. I think the Bucks last year at this time were a team that thought they could contend. People look at the NFL and they just look at whatever you did and that's it.
Right.
Every year we all, and I'm guilty of this too, we all completely ignore teams and forget about the five teams that stink right now that will be good in the playoffs next year.
Right.
And why not Tampa Bay?
Right.
They have a new coach coming in who knows what he's doing as opposed to the guy he replaced. Right?
Yep. He works for us now if you believe Volan.
Yeah. If you want to continue with the shots.
He wrote it.
Last year, Tampa Bay sort of positioned itself as a team that spent some money and was wanting to make a run.
And
it didn't work.
At first, they were competitive. They weren't getting blown out.
Oh, they weren't competitive last year. They sucked.
Well, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, they were reasonably competitive with Shiano. They were like 7-9.
Yeah.
Last year, they were like 0-10
until they finally won some games. Were they really getting blown out?
What do you mean by score? I don't understand. They didn't win any games. They lost like their first 9 or 10 games.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
I mean, did they get blown out of every game by 40 points? No one does in the pros.
Yeah.
Every game goes down to the last possession.
No, I think it's just a good conversation to have. And I think that Volan did a good job in pointing out how financially, when compared to what they would probably be on the hook for with Tlaib, it may not be that much of a difference. But the big difference is, like you said, Paul, why would Tampa Bay be willing to make that trade? You know, and
well, it's not a trade the Patriots would make either.
Right, you have to give up draft picks to get the guy in the first place and then pay him, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they would make the. I don't think they would take the contract on whether they had to give up a draft pick or not.
And Revis isn't the easiest guy to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, he's not.
And I also think
he's Ty Law 2.0.
Yeah.
I also in most accounts.
He dismisses the differences in the contracts. Like, he says, you know, it's going to be about $8 million for Tlaib, and he just dismisses the chasm between 16 and 8. Like, that's nothing.
It's double.
I mean that's a big difference, and I don't care what the cap number is.
Well,
what he's saying is,
you know, with that money, what you do is you make some of it guaranteed and spread it out,
right.
So that it's a little bit more palatable.
So you put it
on the cap.
Yeah, you put it off
on the cap.
On the cap, right.
You're still paying it,
right?
And you're still paying roughly twice as much for one guy as the other. Now, I would do it, but it's not really something the Patriots do very often.
Yeah, you're gonna have to hand him $13 million if you do that.
Yep.
And yes, that pushes some of it off on the cap, but
and
you
that to me is
that?
A lot more. You know, I don't know how, you know, Mr. Kraft feels about it, but I would agree that's a lot more than what it's probably going to cost somebody to sign Tlaib. Now, I would rather have Revis than Tlaib, no question.
See, I still get back to I'd rather have my first round pick and Tlaib than Revis.
I'd only rather they have that first round pick if they
not me. It's
do
like
something
a second
productive
round
with
pick.
It, and by that I don't mean trade down.
They could do something productive.
I don't care how deep the draft is. I want to use first-round picks.
Well, we're going to use it.
Yeah, I think they'll use it, but I'd rather have Revis than the 29th pick. And I'd rather have Ian Tlaib.
Yeah, I'd rather have Tlaib in the pick.
Especially with Tlaib's concerns.
At the money, too. Right. The money is also a consideration. The yep. $16 million versus $8
million. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy for me to throw around Mr. Kraft's money. It's not my money.
Nope, certainly isn't.
So it's very easy for people to sit there and say, oh, yeah, you got to get. He's worth it. Give him the money. And then all of a sudden he tears the ACL and, you know.
He's out of game.
It's a big difference. It's a risk. It's a huge risk. And I just don't think it's something the Patriots would do. It's not in their M.O.
That's what I think. I mean, I was on Salk and Hawley, and Hawley's big on this. He wants Revis. You sell out. If you can get a great player, you get a great player, blah, 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 blah. And I said, every trade they've ever done, the guy was conceding to you. He took a pay cut. He was coming in. I don't see Revis conceding. Unless Revis has changed, you know, one bad year, and he's like, I really just want to go play again where it matters. I want to, you know, be in the play, whatever. And maybe he's changed. I doubt it, because I do think he is Ty Law 2.0. I think he's the CEO and president of Darrell Revis, Inc., and all that. I think he's there the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't see him suddenly say, oh, yeah. It's not going to happen. Yeah. We're not acquiring $16 million, and he's not going to give up $16 million. Yeah. So right there is a deal ender.
Yeah. So my take on the existing players, Edelman and Tlaib, is the Patriots are going to let them, you know, go test the waters. And hopefully they've said, look, just give us the option of first refusal. If you have a deal, let us match it. If, you know, and I think that's the way it's going to go. I think these guys are going to hit free agency.
I agree.
Tlaib and Edelman.
And I think both guys would. I don't know why either guy would not. Yeah. I mean, they both seem to have some loyalties here, short and long term, depending on which guy you're talking about. Why wouldn't you say, listen, it's 5 years, $40 million. If you want to match, I'm back. I love you.
In order to not, I mean, basically it's Saturday, right? Because that's when the tampering period starts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So to sign a deal now, you'd have to get blown away.
Right.
Why would you not allow it to go another 48 hours just to see what's out there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not, you know, under the auspices that you haven't already seen what's out there at this point. Let's face it. That would be stupid for...
Especially for Edelman.
To sign a long-term deal today.
Especially for Edelman. Why would you ever get this close to who knows? Mm. Just roll it out.
This would be you'd have to get knocked off.
This is his only big money contract he's ever had.
In terms of extensions, I guess the Pittsburgh Steelers have extended Polamalu.
Yes. 3 years.
Yeah, they knocked down some cap numbers. With Polamalu, Heath Miller did a restructure. So, yeah, they created some space for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, with their typical... sort of credit card approach.
All right. To deaden their eyeballs.
Like me.
Do they have a 401k?
Still haven't heard back yet.
All right. Web radio at Patriots. I'm kind of mesmerized by this guy, Pat McAfee, on NFL Network. That's all he does is dance on that show. He's like the Ellen of the NFL.
He's a funny guy.
He's a lesbian?
Stop. Again, it's always.
It's
has
always.
To do
hang
status.
Up. Yep. Yeah. Your hang up is you have a hang up.
That's your hang-up. You don't think you have a hang-up. People are already stacked up on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
And you're not happy.
I expect nothing less.
The phone started ringing at noon, and it hasn't stopped. Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew. Andrew. Okay, so he's waiting for
two. Oh, wait a minute. There he is.
Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. You're breaking up.
Hold on.
Okay.
We'll get five.
What are you going outside? Get a better signal.
You're getting out of the well.
Are you back now?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on?
Yeah. I heard Mike Evans has visited.
Okay. You're gonna have to call back, Andrew. You're breaking up. Sorry about that. Let's go to Nolan in California. Hey, Nolan.
You can't. It's frozen.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Saw that.
All right. A couple of quick notes before I have a surprise for you guys. First off, I think Tampa Bay is a contender, especially, and I don't think they would get rid of Revis. And I think they're looking for Devin Hester, who's going to be on the free agent market. That might be helpful for them.
Fred, you've always liked Devin Hester, right?
Yeah.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep.
As a returner.
Yeah, he's never really grown as a receiver that much.
Flat out hasn't, and at times, when he tried, it hurt his return ability.
However, if you do lose Edelman, if he gets blown away by somebody's offer, do you consider Hester, who's obviously an even better return man than Edelman, maybe not as good a wide receiver, but a much better return guy and still a good receiver?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you consider that?
No.
You wouldn't?
Well, it depends on the money. Yeah, I mean, I consider anything, but... I don't know. I wouldn't pay him. If the money's equal, I'd rather pay Edelman. You know?
You'd rather have Edelman than Hester.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep, absolutely. Better, better receiver.
Oh, as an all-around player, yeah. I'd rather have Edelman. Because Hester is useless on anything but return.
Right.
Not me.
Now, he's very good on returns, but
yeah,
you don't get anything else out of
him. I mean, you're not going to get 100 catches out of Hester, but you'll get as many plays.
How big is the return game in the NFL these days, you know, with kickoffs? It's not big, you know?
What? Then why do we talk about how great a returner Edelman is all the time?
No,
because he's very good at it.
Edelman is a good receiver, too.
Well, Edelman also went down Hester road, and in his great year as a receiver, he did nothing as a returner.
Right.
He lost it as a returner.
It affects it a little bit.
Yeah. I have a game also. It's a little free agency game.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to pick a position, and there's three players, and you pick one player that the Patriots should immediately, that's their number one choice. The second player, kind of in the mix, and then the third player doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Go.
All right.
All right, so running back. Re-sign.
Doesn't Leonard make sense.
Why?
That's just Paul being
Paul
an
just
a-hole.
Doesn't want
proceed.
A running back.
All right, re-sign LeGarrette Blount, go after Ahmad Bradshaw, or get Maurice Jones-Drew.
Jones-Drew makes no sense.
I'd say re-sign LeGarrette Blount.
Re-sign Blount.
Of those three.
Yeah. I would, too.
Yeah.
At wide receiver, you have Emmanuel Sanders, Hakeem Nicks, or re-sign Julian Edelman.
I would sign Hakeem Nicks.
Me too.
Yeah. And if I could get Edelman back, I would take him back. The other, Emmanuel Sanders.
Sanders makes no sense.
What are you giggling about?
Because that's Freddie's guy.
Paul knows what he's doing.
Yeah. All right, tight end.
I just said I would take Edelman back.
I know. So what's that?
Tight end.
Guy's not in front of the caller.
Tight end for Michael Finley. Scott Chandler or Pettigrew?
Well, Finley makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Finley's probably never going to play again. I would take Pettigrew, and then my second
choice would be Chandler. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Okay, at defensive end, Jared Allen, Justin Tuck, or Julius Peppers?
Jared Allen, go get him.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers makes sense, and by default, I guess Tuck.
Tuck might be a little bit more versatile than all three of them.
That's what we need, four down players. Does he play in the kicking game?
Don't get a guy who does one thing extremely well.
We wouldn't want Jared Allen, who had 11 and a half sacks last year, just like he does every year.
11
and
a half.
Yeah, 11 and a half.
How many straight years has Jared Allen had 10 or more sacks?
I'm not sure.
Nine or eight, something like that.
Tuck's pretty good.
I'm glad you brought the information.
Right.
I think it's eight. It's either eight or nine.
That's a good one, though, Nolan, because I agree with Andy. I could be persuaded on any of the three.
I'll be happy if they get any of the three.
I'd be happy to get any of those three guys.
I won't ever be happy. But.
Okay, at corner, let's say they do not resign Aqib Talib. So Aqib Talib's out. Your choices are Vontae Davis from the Colts, Browner, who has that four-game suspension, or Champ Bailey.
I'd take Vontae Davis out of those three.
I would take Davis, too.
And I would take Champ as a guy I would settle on. I have no interest in a guy who's going to be suspended for nine straight games before he plays
again. I would flip-flop that. I would go Browner would be my second.
We have no soul at all.
What do I care if a guy uses drugs?
Safety, you have T.J. Ward from the Browns, Ryan Clark, or Anton Bethea?
T.J.
Ward, Bethea, and then... I don't
care about either of the other two.
T.J. Ward is the younger, more productive. Bethea is a good player.
He hurt.
Bethea is a good player.
He's a good player.
He hurt Gronkowski.
One last thing.
Hunter.
Let's say the Patriots do go after, you know, Jared Allen or one of those guys. And, you know, you're feeling pretty confident in the pass rush. But they go in the draft and they get Michael Sam. How do you think the Patriot veteran players like Vince Wilfork or Gerard Mayo, Tom Brady, how do you think they would handle the whole Michael Sam situation?
Perfectly.
Flawlessly. Yep.
And I'm not just being Fred. I think they will handle it perfectly.
It would be a non-issue.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't think it's going to be an issue at all.
Yep. And I think, you know what? On most teams, it'll be a non-issue.
Correct.
I can't imagine.
For most players,
I think it's too high profile to become an issue.
Yeah.
Now, some a-holes in the background will say something or whatever.
And that would happen anywhere.
Right.
But I just think it's too high profile for it to be an
issue. Think that's like one per team, two per team have the potential to be a background problem.
I mean, I saw this one guy on one team. I forget who it was. I'd love him to come to our team. I would tell him how to follow Jesus. Okay, well, great. You know, but...
Because he wants to try to
convert
him. Yeah. Fix him. Yeah. I'm kidding, by the way. Always got to get that out
there. Personally, I wouldn't care, you know, if he can line up with Wilfork or, you know, one of you know, Jared Allen or one of those guys, and he could, you know, he can ball.
Who's Sam? And,
Michael Sam? Know.
There's so many better guys than him, really.
He's just not that good a player.
He's not that good.
There's a lot of guys in the draft that are better than him that the Patriots can get.
He says he's gay and no one wants him anymore.
All right, Nolan, thanks for the call. Thanks for the game.
It was a third rounder to start with.
Good game. Good game by Nolan.
I thought we were going to, like Danny said, we're going to get it down to punters.
Long snapper. Say Danny Aiken doesn't come back.
That's the typical Bleacher Report column that everybody clicks on. You know, three things the Patriots have to do to, you know, and everybody clicks on. And it's just some guy just writing his thoughts, you know.
Isn't that really what it all is? What's just some guy writing his thoughts.
No, some girls sometimes.
Occasionally.
A lot of women in this industry
those.
Now.
Yeah, I ignore those.
Reno is in Sarasota. I thought Reno was in Las Vegas, but go ahead, Reno.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I got a few questions. Do you mind if I ask them?
Not at all.
All depends. Let's see how it goes.
My first question, is the Vince Wilfork being released just a stupid rumor, or are the Patriots actually considering that?
I think it's a legitimate possibility.
Yeah.
He's not. I don't think there's any way he plays for $11.6 million on the cap this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see any way. And I know a lot of people like to paint them as they might dig their heels in, and by them I mean Bianca Wilfork, his wife, is involved with it. He's not going to play at that number, I don't think. So, yes, there's a chance.
You're right. Andy's right. He will not play at that number. So it's just a matter of, can the Patriots give him a deal that he thinks, you know, is fair?
Well, it's one of those Paul Perillo things. I think it could happen, and I'll be really surprised if it happens. Like, you know, it's one of those things
you think could happen,
but when I find out it happened, I'm going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But then you think, you know, I shouldn't be.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But he's Vince Wilfork.
I know.
He's a Patriot.
He means a lot to this team. He really does.
No more than a bag of doorknobs, according to Ron Borges.
That's ridiculous.
My second question. We released Stephen Gregory. Do you think if the Bills do not sign Jarris Bird, do you think we'll go after him?
No.
I don't know.
Possible.
I don't think we're in that price range.
He's going to ask for too much.
The Bills came out today and said that, you know, they didn't tag him so that their talks could be a little bit more amicable.
Okay, that's fine.
But, you know, that does kind of put you in that, you know, risky business.
I don't think there's any way we would go. We're going to re-sign Devin McCourty. He is going to get $30 million. We're not going to have two $30 million safeties, in my opinion.
Everybody assumes that. Why do you, just because of track record with guys like Gerard Mayo and
I think they like
Tully
him.
Banfin
I think they think he's good. And I think good safeties are good. We saw the guy Aaron Williams got
big money
yesterday.
That one kind of worried me because Aaron Williams has been a colossal disappointment. He was, like McCourty, he moved from corner to safety and it was okay last year and got a lot of money.
What was it, 26 and 13?
26 and with a chance to get a couple more million in incentives.
I've prepared myself mentally for 30-something and something in the teens for McCourty.
I would certainly think if McCourty's going to re-sign, it's going to be for more than Aaron Williams just
and
got.
There's no way in hell they're going to pay two guys to play safety at that type of figure. Not happening.
Well, when Jarris Bird did negotiate with the Bills, he was going to get paid top dollar, and he declined it. So maybe it's not all about the money. Maybe he will take a
But there's 30 other teams.
Maybe he thinks he can get more somewhere else.
He might want more money and to play for a competitor,
or just to not play in Buffalo.
I mean, for a contender.
I mean, there's 30 other teams. It's not Buffalo or New England. There's, you know, Miami. Yeah. There's he might want weather. He might want anything.
There's other teams besides the Patriots.
No, I just wanted to know who.
But I think Bird's a pretty good player. No question about it. He's a guy that could help.
He would be a great player here, but I don't know if.
But another guy
spend
similar,
that much money.
You know, I still think they need the other kind of safety.
Right, which are rare.
Let's hope Fred's aggressive prediction is right. Maybe they do go after someone.
Yeah, he already backed up on that. He said quickly they'll sign somebody. Not even aggressive anymore.
Okay, all right.
We re-signed Danny Aiken March 11th at midnight or 3 o'clock.
We made a big splash last year.
Thanks, Reno.
Amendola. $31 million opening day.
And we'll live to regret it every day since.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good.
What's up, you know?
Final sub. I got a question. We'll play a little game here, too. Let's talk about the draft. 1 through 5, what do you think the Patriots' needs are? And I'll give you my 1 through 5.
Tight end.
Safety being 1.
Oh, that we were going.
Okay, tight end 2.
Pass rusher 1.
Safety, tight end. Go ahead.
D-line, whether it's a tackle or end, either or.
It's not fair.
Linebacker, quarterback, wide receiver.
Okay. Did you say corner or quarter?
Quarter, quarterback.
Quarterback.
You know, I've said this before. If you're looking at addressing needs in order in the draft, then you're not addressing needs. Because once you get past the third round, you're really not addressing a need. You're taking the best guy
They're telling me fourth, fifth round, you're getting starters this year.
Yeah, I'm not buying
it. If you really believe tight end's a need and it's a real need, I don't know if you're going to get anybody in the fifth round that's going to address that need.
Tight end is my top draft.
You might get a diamond in the rough,
but you get it in the second round.
And it was my second.
What I'm saying is you've got to do it for your needs, it has to be high draft picks and free agents.
I go tight end, safety, and I don't care after that.
Right. If that's what you think, right.
To me, it's edge guy.
I think pass rusher is still the first need.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to have the best opportunity at good players at that defensive line where they're picking 29.
Maybe. I hope you're right.
Maybe.
Yeah, to me,
another question for you. Percentage-wise, I'm reading like Kalib wants top dollar, money here.
What does that mean? I've read that too, but what does that mean?
Because top dollar is
$16 million a year.
Yeah, that's the top dollar.
Some people say he wants top dollar like Brent Grimes. Well, Brent Grimes didn't get top dollar. He got $8 million a year. There are a lot of cornerbacks that make more than $8 million a year. So does he want top dollar, or does he want market value this year for a guy like him and Brent Grimes?
Is that right?
What?
Because I thought there was a huge gap between Revis and the rest.
Oh, there is. There's a lot of guys in the 9-10 range.
Okay.
And then it's Revis. There's $16 million difference
between
10 and 16.
To me, that's top dollar is the 8, 9, 10 range. That's where
but there's a lot of guys that are closer to 10 than 8. So to me, $2 million is a lot of money. That's not top dollar.
I think that the nail in Tlaib's I didn't think Tlaib was coming back anyway. You know that. But to me, the nail was Grimes' contract because I cannot see him signing for less than that.
Yeah.
And I think that was already on the high end of what they would have wanted to pay.
See, I took that as, okay, Tlaib will be back because that's market value and he'll probably get right around that.
I mean, it's always possible that he'll take. I mean, to me, he's a better player than Grimes.
Yeah.
Now he might take less. He might take if he takes what Grimes got, then that's less than I think he could get, and that's always a possibility. That's why I don't ever say never with these things. You never know what an individual player is going
to
accept.
But to me, when I hear top dollar at corner, it's $10 million or more, because there were enough guys that made 5 years $50 million. That's top, and you can't use the excuse, that was a different time, the cap is now, it's not flat, it's going up. So top dollar is closer to $10 million. $8 million to me is market value of this year.
Yeah, I think that gives a lot of other teams more cap space too.
Okay, and here's one more question, guys. If Tlaib doesn't resign,
we suck.
With the free agents out there, what one corner would you want the Patriots really to go after as a free agent if we lose Tlaib?
That's a tough one.
Thanks for the call, Dave.
I like Alteron Brunner.
Yeah, I don't love him.
I like his age. I think he can get his best football.
Is Cortland Finnegan
younger.
All washed up?
He's seriously fallen off.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't like him either.
I don't mind him.
He's a swagger guy.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
You know.
He's physical, get in your face.
Oh, I don't mind his style. I just don't think he's that good.
Yeah, I don't. See,
I agree
Brunner's
with Andy.
The guy that I think is
Andy,
being miscast as a number one corner and I'd be scared to death to sign him.
I think he's pretty good. Charles Tillman, I don't know what his health is. He's been banged up a little bit.
I think we're selling ourselves into...
Yeah.
Is there any chance that it's going to happen, you mean?
No, I think we're selling ourselves into guys that are not...
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think we're getting down into Lee Bodden range where we talked ourselves into Lee Bodden being a number one corner, and he wasn't.
I don't look at
No, but he was a guy that
I forgot about him.
You look 2 years ago what he did with Romeo. He was a number one corner.
I do remember now, but I had forgotten about
him. That's the road we're going down.
Yeah. Jonathan Wong writes in on webradio@patriots.com. He says, we wondered if he's a native Hong Kongian. And he says, it's better calling me by my first name because my surname, for whatever reason, sounds weird in English. And yes, I'm a native Hong Konger.
Wong?
Both my parents are Chinese.
What's Wong with Wong?
On to the topic. I think Belichick is content with the wide receiver core and will allow them to develop like he did with the tight ends and running backs. Instead of adding more wide receivers, focus the draft and free agency in other areas of need such as tight end, interior, O-lineman, D-line, and secondary. What's your guys' take?
For the most part, yes. I'm a little tempted at receiver, a guy like Benjamin or one of these big guys. I'm a little tempted, I'm going to be honest. But my brain tells me you're right. You invested in those guys, let them develop. Now it's time to go get, you need a tight end.
Yeah.
You probably need a pass rusher. You need a safety. target your needs and don't fall in love with a receiver or something that you already have. Also, guard, by the way, I want to throw out there.
Yeah, interior.
I think they need a guard.
Interior O-line.
I mean, certainly, you know.
You can always get a guard.
Part of Volan's plan and a lot of people's plan is to get rid of Conley, is to cut Conley for his $4 million cap number.
Right.
If you cut him, I really think you need to draft a guard, not only for that slot, but the post-Mankins era is on the horizon. It's not here yet, but I think a good young guard and not just a developmental,
right.
Oh, he was on three practice squads, so now he can play here. I mean like a second-round guard or something.
Ahmed from, where is he from? Pennsylvania writes in, first-time emailer. I don't know if you'll read this.
Well, nope, we're not. Screw you, Ahmed.
I've been a Patriots fan for a while, but I've only been listening since last off-season, and trust me when I tell you, you guys are off the hook. Obviously in a good way. I always listen to the recorded version, so that's why I'm writing in. I just had a few ideas. We need to reload and come into next year ready to take the whole league's head off, figuratively, not the Hernandez way. I know it's not the Patriot way to move up in the draft, and we always try to stay ahead of the fray when it comes to value, but damn it, man. We need to make a splash in the draft. I mean, if this is one of the best drafts in 30 years, let's just move up and get Evans from Texas A&M. I know you'll think I'm out of my mind, but Watkins will definitely be the first wide receiver off the list, so let's just get Mike Evans off the board by moving up. Brady reportedly had talks with Johnny Football, and I'm sure they had a talk about Evans. I'd be disappointed in Brady if he didn't ask about him, but there are a myriad of tight ends that we can take in the later rounds. And I know it's risky to put all our marbles around Gronk, but we gotta believe. As for a pass rusher is concerned, Bill never listens to any logical reasoning unless it comes from the in-house crew. Even then, he probably doesn't listen. I think we should try and just load up and take Jared Allen, even though he's going to be a big hit on the cap. That attitude, productivity, leadership, and motor is worth all the money he wants at the right price. All I'm saying is load up and go balls out for the next few seasons. Do it for Brady.
I think this guy's coming for your job, Fred. That was a very good rah-rah email.
And well-read.
Was it?
Yeah.
And I doubt very much that Brady and Manziel talked about Evans at all. And I also don't mistake necessarily this is a great overall draft with its superstar heavy at the top. There's some question about that. And I'm not sure that the total landscape is got to trade up and get a guy high.
I actually think it's the opposite.
Me too.
I think that the deeper the draft is, I think the cliche is right. I think more apt you are to move down, try to accumulate picks with the idea of getting more good players. And it's not top heavy.
And isn't that what some of the high teams are trying to do? Because there's some dissension as to or lack of who certainly, the great guys are.
I certainly think Cincinnati would love to move down. I think Tampa Bay would love to accumulate some picks and move down. A couple of St. Louis, Tampa Bay, two top 10 teams. I think they would move down in a heartbeat.
Polarco from L.A. writes in, I'm surprised by the short
Polo.
Term. I'm surprised.
Polarco. Polarco.
I'm surprised by the
Gramp in the ear.
You want me to talk into that horn that you have in your ear?
I'm surprised by the short-term memory many of these Patriots fans over the internet have. Edelman has one good season, and suddenly all his past injuries in his first four seasons are forgotten.
Preach it, bruh.
Thank you, Polarco.
Amendola gets injured in his first season, and people are calling him soft. That's just pure discrimination.
Preach it, bruh.
I still believe
they're both white.
I still believe in Amendola, and I know that what I saw last preseason and beginning of the regular season was not a fluke. He is talented, and Brady needs to throw more in his direction. Maybe he can move to Los Angeles and play catch with Brady this offseason, because that's what Edelman did and gained Brady's trust.
Emailers bringing it
today. I swear to God, I did not write that email.
The emailers are bringing it. These are tremendous emails.
Cutting Amendola is not going to save much money either, so give him another shot. He deserves it. If Edelman gets five chances, why can't he get two? If he still has a bad season this year, then F him.
That's a great email, though. Then F him. At that point, we'll move on.
Right.
I basically just wrote that on the web, Fred. I did a blog entry on that. Like, I don't understand this whole get rid of Amendola at all. It makes no sense to me.
And they're not. Again, this is like somebody just, these people, they write speculation because of the internet.
Time out.
All over
beep,
the place.
Beep, 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 beep.
What?
That's why I was asking about the Revis thing. Dan Pompey wrote that in NFL circles, Amendola's name has been floated in trade talks. That's why I asked you about Revis.
Well, wait a minute now. A trade is a lot different than cutting him.
And then said if they can't, they'd be willing to,
right.
to cut him.
I don't blame.
And the Globe wrote that he could
Fred,
be cut.
That's not the point, whether or not you believe it will happen or not. That's not really the point. The point is that there is speculation.
I think he made that part up.
Okay.
See, I actually think what he was doing in that is he was referencing the Volan report, which
right.
may be made up.
See, why would, if you're the Patriots, right, and you want to leak out that this guy is available for trade, why in the same breath would you say, or we'll cut him?
Do you ever think that maybe the Patriots didn't leak it out?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the other team?
Maybe the teams that the Patriots have contacted about it may have leaked
but
it out?
But you wouldn't tell them you're willing to cut him because that decreases the trade value.
Maybe
but
the they other have a teams are saying it. They believe that they'd right. be willing to
well,
cut him.
It's not true.
It's called pro scouting.
But regardless of whether it's true. It doesn't matter if it's true. At least there's something out there that fans are basing
their
opinions
I
on.
I think Seattle's willing to cut Earl Thomas.
But no one has said that. Is my point.
I just you're did.
No, but you're, but that's not the
nobody
same
of
thing.
Note.
And I have a radio show.
It's not the same thing.
Oh, now it's his radio show.
Yeah. Just glad he lets us, you know, hang out.
You're, but there, Dan Pompey is a longtime NFL writer.
I know. Yeah.
That is not the same as out of nowhere people start talking Revis trade from the Bucks. There is a legitimate report out there.
I'm telling fans right now the Patriots are not cutting Danny Amendola.
What about trading?
Possibly.
Wait. Are you reporting that they possibly are?
No, but I'm saying I would be.
But you have a radio show.
I would be open to talking about that.
Would it be that much different for the Patriots financially?
No.
So I don't understand why you're so willing
you're
to dismiss
something.
What
you know.
But what?
But what do you think you're
going
to get for
him? I don't know. I want to know what people value him. I'd be open to the conversation.
No one values him as much as you did last March when you gave him 5 years and $31 million.
I'd be
that
open
would
to
appear
the
to
conversation.
Be conversation. That would appear to be
like,
a certainty.
As
the Eagles,
GM,
were the Eagles the team that was supposedly interested? We had to hurry because somebody was it Philly?
I don't remember.
No, Tennessee, wasn't it?
No, that was Welker. Tennessee offered Welker a lot more
I
money.
I
want
to say it was the Eagles that were supposedly
as a GM, I'm fielding all calls.
It happens so quickly. What about making calls?
Sometimes.
Because this sounds a lot more like making than fielding. Do you think a lot of teams were beating down the door of, hey, is Danny Amendola available?
And again, I understand what
is he
going to
bring
saying.
His groin with him?
I'm not suggesting that everything that we read is true. And I understand where Fred is going. But that is what was written. And there's a difference between that and if you just saying, well, Earl Thomas is going to get cut.
And I also want to clarify that we sometimes poo-poo Bleacher Report because it's, you know, Joe Blow in his basement writing the report. This is Dan Pompey. This is a legitimate, long-time Chicago something-something writer.
See the guy that hates the Patriots?
No, that's Pete Prisco.
Pete Prisco.
That's everybody inclusive.
That's true.
That's Paul.
Tyler says...
Paul Perillo, no. Pete Prisco.
About national
PP,
media.
PP.
National media. They hate us.
Tyler says...
He hate me.
We talked about sending out a survey. Andy thinks we need to give people something. Tyler says, I'll gladly fill out the survey. Tell Andy the dangling carrot is the enjoyment we fans get while listening to you guys on a weekly basis. You've become like family. May it continue another 20 years. And tell Fathead I'll also gladly fill out his mother.
Did you see the not with your little dangling carrot?
Did you see the tweet that Christian sent you today?
I don't know.
Funny.
I did.
He said the look on my face when Fathead's mother's coming over. Yeah.
This is not appropriate. Any of this, Fred.
I'm
going to escalate this to a supervisor.
It's pretty funny.
Ben in Vermont.
He's the supervisor.
Ben in Vermont via England says, if you had the choice between the following, which would you choose? Number one, continue on the current path and carefully look for value in both the draft and free agency. You don't know for sure, but most likely will make it to the playoffs for Brady's last 3 years, but never win the Super Bowl. Brady and Belichick then retire, leaving the team in good shape. Two, get aggressive. You mortgage the future, both in terms of future draft picks and future cap space. Again, you don't know for sure, but you have a good chance of winning another Super Bowl, but you are going to leave the team in terrible shape in 3 years. Which would you do?
Door number two.
If I know I'm never going to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to take two.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
But also, you don't have to do just two.
Yeah, those two things aren't necessarily
I know, but
mutually
that's all
exclusive.
They gave us,
these games have rules.
Yeah.
And they're stupid. It's like politics. I have to be a Republican. I have to be a Democrat. How about I can
two.
Be in the middle and think about things logically?
Well, I think that there's also flaws with the two different options that he left us. I think getting aggressive and making moves to do everything you can in the next 2 or 3 years to win another Super Bowl doesn't necessarily set you up for disaster down the road. Conversely, doing things exactly the way the Patriots do now, you know, being, you know, in the constant search for value after Brady leaves doesn't set you up to be in good shape. Because after Brady leaves, you more than likely will not be in good shape.
That is correct.
Unless you get a guy of some real significant talent to replace Brady, you are not going to be in good shape immediately when Brady leaves, no matter how you manage your roster in the other 52 spots.
Well, and plus, if you do it the right way, like San Francisco and Seattle, you've now gone from paying a $15 million slot at quarterback to a $1 million slot at quarterback. That makes it easier,
yeah.
Right? So all these factor in. You don't have to be stupid.
He'll have to be able to play, though.
Speaking of getting a quarterback, there was reports out there that Matt Cassel and the Texans have a little bit of things.
Yeah, I had heard that at the combine. It was wildly out there.
Andy heard that.
What do you read about that? To me, what that tells me, if it's true, and Bill O'Brien is really thinking about bringing in Cassel in, to me that tells me he is going to take a quarterback in the first round.
Because, it tells me the opposite.
Because I've talked to Cassel, say, look, if he's not ready, you're our guy, but you're going to be here to mentor this guy and be his backup, but you might have to play right away. And to me, if I'm Cassel, I could live with that option.
I took it the other way. He's taking Clowney.
Yeah, I do too.
And make Cassel a starter?
Yeah, I have him compete. Yeah. He competes for you to be your starter. I think if Bill O'Brien does not think any of those guys are the guy, I think it's absolutely dumb.
Oh, I agree with
and
that.
A potential career killer before he even coaches a game.
I think it is a career killer.
To take one.
If you take a quarterback that you don't think, unless you luck out and he happens to be really good, but if you think he's not worth the number one pick and take him, you've just started your exit. Start putting the stuff in the boxes and the pictures back
in
the box.
Would it be something if there's a Texas booster club and they're all mad at him because he didn't take Johnny Manziel? He goes from Penn State having to deal with those idiot boosters, and then he goes to Texas.
Well, he is getting.
And the problem is he'll pop off and call them idiots.
Right. Yeah,
he's taking heat. Oh, right. I mean, there was like supposedly a billboard up around here to take Manziel.
Oh, for God's sake.
Because Manziel dared him to or threatened him to or whatever.
For crying out loud.
But he'll pop off to some columnist, and all these idiots think I should have took Manziel or something, and all of a sudden you're in a turmoil.
Here
we go. Right.
Mike from Oregon, this is for Paul and Andy. How do you feel about the strong safety in this year's draft? Is it worth a second-round pick?
It might be. I got tape work to do.
Yeah?
Yeah, we haven't gotten any film yet, so we haven't watched. Andy was able to deal with the safeties at the combine.
As I've talked about, the Dion and Dion, Pryor, if by some chance he falls and isn't a first-round pick, because I'm not really looking to invest a first-round pick there, and I think he's going to be gone anyway. But there could be an option in the second round that I'm intrigued by. I mean, guys have gone. Remember we liked the Green Bay guy, and he's been pretty good. The kid out of Georgia Tech. Yeah, whatever. There's guys, you can get a starting safety in the second or third round.
Usually I'm right there to finish a sentence on those, and I can't remember.
Even though I know Patriots fans will be scared poopless, as they should be.
There are some.
Patriots select safety. Oh, no.
There are some. Some cornerbacks, too, that project as possible safeties. One of them is a really interesting guy, the kid out of Florida State, the Joyner, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Who's really small, but supposedly hits like a truck. And
I'm scared about that.
Bob Sanders, exactly.
He wants to play, I guess he's played everything. He's played outside, he's
plays
played inside,
big.
And he's played safety. And he plays a lot bigger, but he's like 5 foot nothing. He's a small guy.
The other guy, I forget. Go ahead.
Alberto from sunny California, with all this attention going towards the offense and free agency, do you think that keeping our three main running backs, Ridley, Vereen, and Blunt, is the way to go for this upcoming season? Should we look into maybe drafting a second-round pick or re-signing Blunt? Personally, my feeling is that our offense ran fine with the three of them in the lineup, but I just wanted to know what you guys thought.
I have no interest in a second-round pick
and
running
back. I'm with you. Re-sign Blunt if you can.
I'm not to the Paul level where I never take a running back and I don't need any and blah, 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 but this team has too many other significant needs to say I need a running back in the second round.
Yeah, and if I'm going to take one in the second round, it would have been a guy like Vereen, who I think can do a lot of different things. Now, he hasn't been able to put it all together and stay healthy, but I think we've seen flashes of all the different things that he can do, whether it be run for 100 yards in a game as a conventional guy out of the backfield, split out wide, catch the ball out of the backfield.
Not catch the ball over his shoulder.
I think the injuries have been a big setback for him. But that's the only kind of running back I'd want to invest a first or second round pick in. And I don't really want to invest any first round pick in a running back. You know that, Andy.
You don't even have him on your team anymore.
You're able to have those three guys because two of them are still on rookie contracts, too. So that helps. And it's going to be hard. There's no way they're going to be able to re-sign both Vereen and Ridley, say, next year. when they come due. I don't see that happening. And Blunt, what did Benny sign for in Cincinnati? 4-12?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, that's considered like a lucrative contract for a free agent running back nowadays. Sounds like nothing.
And remember, we talked about it. Your guy Dwyer. There's a few veterans. McFadden is a bigger name. There's a few guys out there that if you need to add to the back, it's easy.
Bill writes in, seems after hearing listeners on PFW, EEI, and the Sports Hub that most want Edelman over Amendola, but their contracts are inverse of their production. Imagine this scenario. Both Edelman and Amendola are brought in, and management shows them their stats, projections, targets, then shows them their future contract. Jonathan then follows up with Danny and Julian. I want you guys to something. No, I can't write that. No.
He didn't ask you to write it. Just say it.
I want you to read it.
I can't say it.
I just love that he got that far. No,
yeah, it's an act. That. It's a sexual act that I can't say on the air.
Well, what does it even mean?
I don't know.
Being anatomically impossible?
It was just a nonsense email. Let's go to Marcus in Miami on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm good. I just had a couple questions. Someone actually just hit on something I wanted to talk about. I know we've been spending a lot of frivolous money in free agency. The Lee Botten thing is the first thing that come up. Didn't he get injured, and then we signed him to like a $27 million deal, or how did that one work out?
He definitely got hurt, and then he got cut. And he definitely, $28 million sounds like it's in the range to me of what they signed him for.
They originally signed him.
Yeah.
He played on a one-year deal, played reasonably well. They re-signed him to a long-term deal, and he got hurt.
Right. And then they cut him.
That was it.
And then we cut him.
Right.
So that's a waste of, a roster bonus, a signing bonus, and that salary for that year? I think that was 2009 or something like that, or 2010 when we went down to St. Louis and got blew out, then that fourth and three thing with an Indy. I think that was the same year that, I mean, we had, what, Patrick Chung, and I think Lee Botten was our whole defense. So going forward, I just want to, I mean, I think we're going to do something with Wilfork's contract. I think we're going to, you know, obviously we probably can leave Mankins alone, but that Dan Conley contract, if we were to do some, you know, tweaking over the weekend, I mean, I think we'll go in the free agency, you know, as spenders. But like last year and the last couple of years, we wait till all the dust settles. Then we grab our players. What do you think going forward? Do you think are we actually going to spend some money? I mean, to be $20 million under the cap, that's a lot.
Well, we're not. So, I think the Patriots are $13 million under the cap.
Well, 13, but if we restructure or cut Vince Wilfork, which I hope they don't, I hope they extend him like the Steelers did Paul Mahu. I mean, I think that, you know.
Well, you just got to remember that, you know, we're $13 million under the cap, but there's a lot of other teams too. You know, it's not
$60 million under the cap.
Yeah, the Raiders,
$50 million, $40 million,
are $50 million under the cap.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And they have to spend the money. They're forced to.
And they're not afraid to.
You know, the CBA says you got to spend this money. You can't hold on to it.
Yeah,
so
I don't know about
there's
that
a lot of competition out there, and it's not going to be as easy. But I think the, you know, thanks, Marcus. I think the allure of playing for Belichick and the Patriots is really our recruiting, you know.
If you want to lose in the AFC title game, come here.
One more email. Nick from Illinois.
We'll go to San Francisco.
Andy, why is it so hard to understand why people are talking about Revis? The Patriots are potentially without a cornerback on the roster, and the best in the league is available. And people aren't talking about Peppers because he isn't nearly the player at this juncture as Revis is. I see plenty of Bears games and listen to Chicago sports radio every day. Peppers is a rotational guy at this point.
Yep.
It was probably in reality a bit less productive than his numbers showed. I would still sign him when he's available, but I wouldn't want him to want to spend anything more than John Abraham money, if that. So,
yeah, well, we might not get him either then.
They weren't willing to spend John Abraham
right,
money.
Right, yeah.
But I think maybe they've learned from that. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's hungry.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hung?
Are you hung?
Hungry. Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here on PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is still hot. Let's go to Marcus in California. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Keep it hot.
I wonder if there'd ever be a possibility that the Pats would go after Kirk Cousins. Maybe give up the second round pick that I heard that the Redskins were asking for. I mean, they can dump Mallett.
Well, I'll say this: I like what I've seen out of Cousins more than what I've seen out of Mallett already. But Cousins has had more opportunities than Mallett in a couple of years,
and they're very different players.
They are very different players.
I mean, Mallett
different
is the types. Old school, strong arm, tall.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just I'm talking about as the true, I guess you can say, heir apparent to Tom Brady. That way we don't have to waste time with the draft. And that'll be, you know, since Tom only has, what do you say, like 3 more years? That would be a good time for him to develop. And when Tom does exit, you know, we have our quarterback.
So he'd be in year 5, 6.
What do you think the ceiling would be, Marcus, for Cousins, in your opinion?
I'm sorry?
What do you think the ceiling would be for Kirk Cousins, in your opinion? How good do you think he could be?
You haven't seen much, but I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm not saying he's going to be
defensive. Well, why Kirk Cousins? Why are you mentioning? Well,
I personally wouldn't think about giving up a second round pick for Kirk Cousins. I was just wondering if maybe I was underestimating him.
I'm saying at least we got to see a sample size of him.
Yeah, but it hasn't been very good.
All right. Well, do you think? Can he win you the Super Bowl? Bottom line,
no.
That's all that matters. Can he win the Super Bowl for you?
Not today, but you know.
Can he ever win the Super Bowl for you? Tom Brady can't win it today,
so
they don't play the Super Bowl much.
Because if you don't think he can win you the Super Bowl, then don't bother.
Tom Brady can win the Super Bowl.
No. If you don't think he can win the Super Bowl for you, then don't bother.
Well, he was a second round pick. Tom Brady was a sixth. I bet the sixth round Tom Brady.
Kirk Cousins was not a second round pick. Kirk Cousins was a fourth or fifth round pick.
I don't think he was that low.
I think he was a fourth round. That was the year they picked RG3. They didn't go 1-2 quarterbacks.
No, they didn't.
He was a mid round pick, Kirk Cousins.
Okay, I apologize. But I guess, you know, I'm just saying with the tutoring Tom Brady.
I was yelling at you.
By the time he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I would, from what I've seen from him, he looked decent.
Yeah, we're not looking for decent.
No,
to be the heir apparent the Super Bowl. For Tom Brady.
I think of him like Matt Cassel. I think he is a solid backup.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And I think if he was pressed into service, your season wouldn't derail because I think he could go in there in a small sample.
Yeah, he won games with the crappy Redskins.
Right, as a backup, yeah, but I'm not giving up a second rounder for a backup.
He was the fourth round pick, 102nd.
Yeah, I didn't.
And he's the greatest human being ever, according to Brian Hoyer.
And that's part of the reason why I think he would be a great backup quarterback, Andy, is the intangible quality that I know he has. And I like Kirk Cousins.
But if he wants to be a great backup quarterback, can't he just stay in Washington?
Yeah.
Hey, are you guys rooting for Brian Hoyer this year? I am.
I always root for Brian Hoyer.
I really hope he comes back because he's
certainly not rooting against him.
No, but I hope he really comes back and becomes a solid starting quarterback in the NFL. That'd be great.
Do I think it's going to happen? No.
Really?
I don't think there's even a sliver of a chance of that happening.
But I'll root for him. I like him. He's a great guy.
Okay.
My thing is,
I feel
he's probably going to get exposed. Like, you know, play,
I don't think
you know,
he played that well last year.
All of a sudden he's not playing well.
He hardly played at all, though.
He played well in one game that he threw a couple of picks in. And then he was off to a bad start in the next game and got hurt. Like, I think the sample size is like, I mean.
He's cranky today a little bit, really, huh? He just yelled a guy to the point where the guy, like, apologized.
Again, that was you, not.
I didn't apologize. Not Marcus. He did.
No, I was yelling at you.
Oh, well, he thought you were yelling at him.
I was not yelling at him, and he
now
knows
you're
that. I didn't yell at anybody.
Brian Hoyer.
Now I'm yelling.
Now I'm mad.
I think that there's something that happens with quarterbacks that I find it to be a little bit of a strange phenomenon. And it doesn't take anything to suddenly develop this value in quarterbacks. Ryan Mallett has never played, yet we can get a second-round pick for him. Given that, I can understand a lot of people think that they can get a second-round pick.
Reports
they should trade him to Houston
reports
for a second-round pick.
The Patriots were looking for a second-round pick for him.
As I said, I'm looking to score with Kate Upton, but... Ain't happening.
And I think that's the same chance.
Before she gets really fat.
And then, you know, you look at, and Marcus talks about Kirk Cousins. Well, if people think that there's a possibility of getting a second-round pick from Mallett, Marcus is 1,000% right.
Right.
Kirk Cousins' value is far higher than Ryan Mallett's. He's actually played in NFL games and had some that he's played well in.
Yep.
So I think Marcus is right in that it might take you, you know, a second-round pick to get a guy like Cousins, and I wouldn't be interested in that because I just don't think he's that good. But it seems like you don't have to do anything as a quarterback to
because everybody wants one.
To generate his value. Yeah.
Don't There's a lack
up.
Of
but, them. But everybody needs one that can play. Everybody has a Brian Hoyer. not everybody has one that you can win with.
Right, but everybody's looking for, or half the league is right. looking for one.
Right.
And they talk themselves into.
And that's why, like, you think it's like, I like Brian Hoyer a lot, and I agree with you. I'd love to see him do exactly what Fred said, because, you know, I think he was a really good guy, and I think he, it really sucked that he tore his ACL like that. He finally got a chance to play after, what, 4 years in the league, five years in the league. He finally got an opportunity to play, and then he tears his ACL in, like, the second or third game that he played in. That sucks, and I don't wish that on anybody, let alone a guy that was here that I liked.
Quick question. Is Jeremiah Ratliff Jay Ratliff?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Everybody was like, oh, Jeremiah Ratliff signed with the Bears.
I think, yes. And because I think that there was a thing last year that he changed his name. And I also saw in the tweets that he is excited to be back with Pasqualoni, who is now on the Bears staff, who he played for in Dallas. So that's Jay Ratliff.
But it's the same guy.
Right, same guy.
But he wants to be Jeremiah now?
I guess.
Turnover, new leaf.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, writes in, in defense of Hightower playing without Mayo for the better part of the season, plus playing out of position as well, I think has to be mentioned. And also, did you guys listen to Ross Tucker on Damashek's podcast? He was so funny. He told a story about Brady being awesome at chugging beers. He was full of funny Patriots stories as well as some other ones. And I'm with Andy. Volan is a weirdo. I blocked him on Twitter so I don't have to see his jibber jabber.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you call him a weirdo?
I don't believe I did.
It's out there now. Charlotte, I can't take it back.
The description most associated with me.
I just
on Twitter.
Thought it was an interesting article that he wrote. It was food for thought. And he, you know, he backed it. He said, I would do it. It wasn't
I agree with you. And Fred demanded that that I read it before the show. And I agree with Fred that rather than just throw stuff out there like so many people do nowadays, he came up with ways that it could happen. I don't agree with him.
After someone else just threw it out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
With absolutely nothing to base it on.
I don't agree with him at all on the things that he said. His premise, I don't agree with. I think there's a huge difference between $16 million and $8 million that he sort of just cavalierly dismisses because of paper, cap number. I don't think that's the sole roadblock because we can lower the cap number and do it. That's a lot of money. And I think that he's just sort of cavalierly dismissing the difference in salary that it would potentially take. But I do think that he thought it out. I agree with you, Freddie.
JT writes in, longtime listener. I have a quick question regarding the Wilfork situation. I hear a few people, when talking about the contract, talk about a restructure instead of a pay cut. How can you restructure a one-year contract that doesn't involve a pay cut on Wilfork's end?
You would extend him, give him the salary money as a bonus money, guaranteed money, and therefore for cap purposes you would divvy that amount over the extension. So you could add 2 years on, so it's now a 3-year deal. You take his $7 million salary or $8 million salary and hand him $7 million of it, so it's down to $1 million salary for book purposes. Now you divvy that $7 million over 3 years, which is $2 million in cap purposes, and you've probably shaved $6 or $7 million off your cap number for this year, but you've pushed it into the future when he'll be an older, oversized, aging defensive lineman.
Chris writes in, could you guys sus
and a jaw.
Could you see us drafting Colt Lierla?
Nope.
If he falls to rounds 5 through 7?
Nope.
I know he is a character risk, but he has a lot of talent and is a big guy. Second, could you see us making a play for Brandon Browner or Walter Thurman? Both guys
the all-steroid Olympics on Saturday night.
Both
Live.
Guys would do wonders for our secondary if we could get them and keep Tlaib. Our secondary would be very good. And finally, I don't understand why everyone hates Amendola so much. He played hurt and showed toughness all year. I like what he offers. And I think he should be monumentally better this year. Do you guys agree? And a bold prediction for next year, TJ Moe gets 50 catches if he's healthy.
Oh, that has to be not serious.
I think it is serious. I heard Geekville talking about it earlier.
We're going to go
JMO.
Let's go with the three slot set.
Yeah, sure.
Edelman, Amendola, and Moe. Dickie Moe.
Oh, God.
I think there's a better chance of Browner than Lierla. I mean, he got arrested because a cop watched him snort cocaine.
Like, do you know what's funny?
He has problems.
Do you remember we spent like, what, 5, 6, 8 years targeting guys in the draft that were squeaky clean? Now we do the opposite. Now we look at every guy that has a black mark on his resume, and we think that we can get him three rounds later than his talent would indicate that he should be drafted. And that's the guy we've tried. Well, there is no way the Patriots would want to draft that Colt Laier. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Laierla. But I don't know for sure.
I would have no interest. Brandon Browner was suspended for the last five games of last season and will be suspended for the first four next season. Let's get him. I mean,
it was just a circumstantial error.
Three times?
Yeah. See, I don't really. Cocaine is different than steroids to me.
Let's
see. We just want every guy who has problems
because we can
get them for free.
It's Moneyball.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
In
the old days, everybody was taking the bad players because it was Al Davis, it was, you know, the Bengals, Dallas. Now, other teams seem to have gotten a little scared off of the punks, so there's good value in the punks, so we take the punks. It's all about value. Value is supreme in New England.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a choir boy, but it also doesn't have to be a guy who's got multiple suspensions on his
resume. Snorting lines in front of a cop. And that, by the way, is the big one. But that was after he had missed a couple games, then, quote, left the team on his own decision, but didn't really. Nobody will talk about it. And then it was after that he was snorting. And he claims, I was in a bad area.
It was Adderall.
I had to get, no. He did. No. He admitted it was cocaine. He just said he had to get away from the bad area and the bad people. It's kind of a little Hernandez sounding to it. Except it's cocaine instead of PCP or whatever.
Except for the people around her name to get away from him.
The foreskin guy wants to talk to Andy, and he promises not to swear. Hey, foreskin guy.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Well, if you're not going to say foreskin, then why are you calling?
Well, listen, that's not a swear, as you guys know. Last weekend...
Oh, I told you, it's like vagina. It's a part of a body.
But when I called you when you were in 1510, how pissed were they?
They do
those
not...
guys.
Yeah, they don't find it funny. Even though I laugh, they
foreskin in 40 years before ago.
They don't find it funny.
I understand. And first off, Eric has to calm down. When I said the Gomer Bowen thing.
Oh,
you were picking on the poor guy's dead father,
the late Gomer Bowen.
Exactly. But this guy, Eric's so sensitive. Calm down.
He's an artist.
We artists all are. We see the world differently than you people.
Kevin's laughing.
I want to know if we can get a poll in studio for who still has their foreskin intact. I my money's on Eric with that Scalavino last name. He's got the fresh on the boat parents.
For hygienic reasons, he had his clipped.
I have no formal.
All right, thanks, foreskin guy. I mean, we're not going to sit and talk about foreskin all day, are we?
I don't know.
But he's
now the foreskin.
He's the foreskin.
He also
guy.
Lied, obviously.
Why?
He didn't swear.
No, Kevin wrote on the thing that he wasn't going to talk about foreskin.
No,
and
he
then
said
that's
he promised not to swear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Foreskin's not a square.
No.
A square? Swear.
No, it's not a square.
Everybody's having a hard time speaking today.
It's the off season.
Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
I like how you said speaking today to make sure he didn't.
How you all doing today?
Good.
Good day, Mike.
What body part would you like to talk about?
Sphincter?
Sphincter.
Taint? That's not a body part.
Oh, see, come on now. It's like the guy that follows us on Twitter.
Taint Scraper.
Taint Scraper.
I just found it interesting the other day that for once, everybody else was further along that train of thought than Andy when Kevin made that comment with the presidential conversation towards the end of the show, and for once Andy was the one that was lost in that field.
Well, he can't think fast enough. Plus, that happened in the '60s, so that's before anything that he is
not speaking about.
Wait a
hammer at home there, Fred.
He's up about. Yeah.
But anyhow, I wanted to pick up on Marcus's point and build on it. In regards to Kirk Cousins, I actually, being a Spartan myself, I was very interested in, hoping that the Pats would pick up
Spotty. Kirk,
because I thought
I like Kirk Cousins. I don't know what his
mold. Not necessarily a dazzling talent, but a smart guy, a hard worker, not always necessarily surrounded with a whole bunch of talent, but found a lot of ways to win. And you hear him sort of down here in D.C., and he says all the right things. You know, when he screws up, it's his fault. When it's the team, when they succeed, it's the team. So, but I don't know if I go for a second round swap for him. But that brought me into my the question I wanted to ask, which was, say for example, for whatever reason, Belichick decides to leave the team tomorrow. He and Brady want to tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka. if the Pats were to pick another coach, do you think they would go for someone in the Belichick mold, or would they go for a big departure because for the guy that's coaching Michigan State right now, Mark D'Antonio, I think is almost like a Belichick clone. He's stoic, he's unemotional, he's a very hard defensive-minded coach. He knows how to develop talent because he's all the good talent is taken away by University of Michigan. So he's really had to work with players that aren't necessarily superstars. Yet he gets the job done. You know, strong defensive focus with an effective offense. Do you think the bats should go somewhere like like a Chip Kelly? Completely the opposite direction.
It's a very good question, Dan. And the reason why here it's more complicated is because they don't have a strong GM. You know, Belichick is the GM. And one of the reasons why they like Belichick is because they feel he has a really good understanding of the CBA and the cap and the way that works. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to have a strong GM with Belichick. Any of those other guys that you mentioned probably wouldn't come in with that same type of acumen.
No, absolutely not.
So you might have to, the next time, when Belichick leaves, they might have to bring in a GM as well as a coach.
And would they let the GM hire a coach?
That's the thing. So it's a complicated question in New England. You know,
it's complicated in a lot of places. You see how places like Miami or Cleveland get in trouble because who's answering to who and who's in power, But it's all about what's the chain of command that you're going up. And you're right. Yeah. Right now, there's one chain of command. It goes from Belichick to Kraft and then back and forth.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
It's the only command that exists. And go ahead.
In terms of the coach's philosophy himself, though, would you see them going for someone drastically different, like a Chip Kelly, who's gonna, he's got this out there offense, or would they still go for more traditional or defensive minded?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it would be offense defense. I do think they would go a guy who's open to the newness, a thinker, a progressive coach,
open minded.
And I get your
personality.
I didn't say anything about personality. I think Chip Kelly though is a progressive, and it's not just offense. You know, everybody talks about how progressive he is in everything, the way they do everything,
from
the nutrition,
the sleeping,
everything. I think they would look into people like that.
And I don't think there's a huge difference, and I know it sounds weird, and I understand your points, Dan, between a guy like Chip Kelly and Belichick, because I think they think a lot alike in terms of the different stuff that they do. I think it's drastically different in terms of one guy is known for offense and one guy's known for defense. But I think there's a reason that Belichick has, and it's exactly what Andy just talked about, because Bill understands, and how many times has he told us, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And
that's
he's always looking for something, the next thing.
There's a bunch of other stuff that Kelly does. It's not all about the high-speed offense. There's a bunch of other stuff where Kelly is a lot like Belichick. Before I go, I just wanted to say that Andy's impression before of teams beating down the door for Amendola sounded a lot like Scooby-Doo. So I'm just wondering if maybe Andy could speak to cartoon characters rather than foreign accents. And between Andy doing cartoon characters and impersonations of presidents.
Well, it'll be an accent off hosted by Captain Crunch.
So I don't know if I can do him.
I'm wondering if Eric and Paul do impressions of anybody.
Eric does some.
Plenty. I'm not very good at it.
A lot of the players on this team.
Oh, yeah. Eric used to be a stand-up comic, and his main thing was impressions.
Actually, no, I didn't do any of the impressions during that.
That's what maybe you should have.
See, unfortunately, none of them had ever spent any time in the Patriots locker room. So they didn't get some of your best ones.
You didn't do impressions when you were stand-up?
I didn't, and a lot of people were like, why didn't you? And I'm I had material
more,
I wanted to use.
Was it more observational humor?
That's exactly what it was.
So,
did you hear that? Why didn't you do the impressions that you're very good at? Because I had material I wanted to use. So I'm not going to give you what you think is funny. I'm going to give you what I'm going to tell you is funny.
And it was funny.
Eric would tell a joke and then he would say, now laugh.
Yes, because as I've told you this story before that you always forget, and I have to retell it all the time, there came a point where I had to either continue being a work-for-nothing peanuts comedian working on the road for 20 years before I might get discovered and get my own sitcom.
Or be successful.
Or be a logical, rational, bill-paying person.
Miserable.
And get a real job. And I chose the latter.
Plus, you don't like doing drugs. They all do drugs.
Do they?
They drink hard.
Oh, God,
drugs.
Yeah.
You want to eat my salad?
Except for Seinfeld.
That's a tough life.
He never did drugs or...
I didn't say he never, but I swear. He never swore in any of his bits.
But, Dan, if you ever get the chance to come
in and
see us, Eric has a great knack of doing Patriots players and various personnel. That work here in the building.
Yeah. I mean, a killer, Aaron Salkin.
thanks for the call, Dan.
And as they say, that and 225 will get him a cup of coffee.
Is that what it costs for a cup of coffee?
It's pretty
expensive
now. You order a coffee and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
And you try that crap one at Cumberland Farms that I just, oh.
I heard that was pretty good.
The one that the I Hoff did too. About? They tell me that every time I pump gas, and it sucks.
Isn't that the one that the Hoff sings about?
Plus, they don't. It's like not flavored. That's you Cumberland Farms. You get like the coffee, and then there's a machine you push like the flavor button, and it tastes very fake and yucky.
With his bathrobe.
Well, if you want flavor, but you can't just drink regular coffee with cream. Right?
I like French vanilla.
French vanilla.
Yeah.
He's a little sweet, Fred.
You have a hang-up. Not everybody who drinks French vanilla is a foo-foo.
Chris, who's a guy in UK, or Chris Guy, I'm not sure
no,
which it is.
No, that's his name, Chris Guy.
Who's it? Whose name? This guy?
The guy that you're reading. His name is Chris Guy.
His name is Chris Guy.
Yes.
Okay.
His wife's name is Girl Guy.
No, I don't think that's accurate.
you drinking wine back there? His brother's name is Guy Guy. His middle name's on. Guy
wish
on
I was
guy.
Drinking wine. Vacation early.
I was recently watching always a Patriots-Bengals game in Foxborough from the 1988
black
season,
guy.
Paul.
I'm sorry?
He was watching a Patriots-Bengals game from the 1988 season.
Patriots-Bengals, 1988?
Yeah. Boomer Esiason.
Icky Woods?
Boomer Esiason, the Bengals quarterback, on a 4th-and-1 at the Patriots' 1-yard line, refused to take the ball from center due to excessive crowd noise. This went on for over 15 minutes as a standoff ensued, with Boomer refusing to play on and the crowd getting louder. This was the old noise rule, which I had forgotten about, and is quite ironic when you see the NFL encouraging crowd noise world records in places like Kansas City and Seattle. This surely has to go down as one of the NFL's craziest rules. I love the fact that on this occasion, this wasn't happening in a noisy dome, but in rickety old Foxborough Stadium. This also dispels the myth that the stadium design at Gillette contributes a lack of crowd noise in the present day. The old Foxborough Stadium was basically a wide-open bowl, but those fans were as loud and passionate as I ever seen or heard. It is more likely a case of the present-day cheese and wine crowd not being as passionate. Do any of you remember the noise rule in this game?
Yes.
I sure remember the you know?
I remember the rule. I don't remember that game.
And that they got rid of the rule? You can't stop play if you can't hear? Or do guys just don't want to do it because then there'll be a punani?
No, the rule doesn't exist anymore, I believe.
They don't have it. Yeah, they don't have it anymore.
Why did they ever have it?
They had a rule where if you
No, I knew they did, but why?
I think maybe the helmet. Is it when the helmet mic first got in and they didn't want they wanted to
You guys are pussies. No.
The helmet mics came in like the last
few years.
6 years.
Yeah.
Well, that
this
was
old
defense.
Rule is for the 20s. Okay. The helmet mics aren't all that old. Well, 20 years ago, not the 20s.
Yeah. Going back to the 20s with Paul.
So, but there was, I remember that rule. There were a few games I remember watching where
the quarterback would say he couldn't hear the signals, he'd turn to the ref and they would stop.
Our current rule is when there's a 40-second running play clock, when the play clock resets, you can play either prompts on the jumbo or you can play music until it hits 20, and then you must stop everything. If the play clock is at 25, like coming out of a timeout or something, as soon as it clicks to 24, you got to kill it. So those are the rules now for us.
Why not 20?
But it's not about. But that's about
but the
you.
Fans don't have to. Kill.
That's about you prompting.
No, I know. Right, but I'm just letting you know.
This wasn't because of prompting.
I know, but it's semi relevant to what we do in here. So I just
can you play anything you want up until that 20-second mark out of a 40-second clock?
Well, what happens is if you want to play audio, you have to send that clip or whatever to the league for approval.
Because I was thinking you could play like whatever the most annoying, distracting
sound,
so that they couldn't hear like the
fingernails. Yeah, exactly.
Like, just like blow them out.
Yeah, we thought of that. But
what was
you have
the,
to send to the league.
Fred, you might remember
this. Why am I not surprised?
At the old stadium, they used to play the video, and I forget it was the Arnold movie. Was it Predator.
Yeah. He'd stand on the rock.
And they banned that.
Well, but not anymore.
You couldn't do that anymore. But that clip was awesome. Yeah. That used to get the crowd.
When we were in our meetings, Fred brought that up. He wants it back.
So everything in the NFL is cyclical. So the goalpost could be back on the goal line.
Could be.
Not sure about that.
Oh, did you see Saban?
No.
His asinine comments about that slow it down rule? That somebody said there's no data proving anything that he's arguing, and he compared it to smoking. Well, there's no data that if you smoke 2 cigarettes, you're more likely than if you smoke 1 to get cancer either. But I think logic tells us that the more cigarettes you smoke, the more likely you are to have problems. And what are you talking about? What the F are you talking about?
There's no data.
And are you, am I to take your logic for you to believe because it's sped up, there are more football plays and therefore more chance of concussion and injury? That is true. The game leads to injury. The game leads to concussions. Get rid of the game, not the sped up offenses. You're being an idiot. Right? I mean, that's, and they tabled it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is just being a total
a-hole. Do you know anything
a-hole.
About this, Fred?
No,
you,
I don't.
Andy and I were talking about this a-hole. A lot at the combine. They, the college football, they just wanted to put
himself.
A rule in.
Touché.
Saying that a play could not be snapped. The ball couldn't be snapped within the first 10 seconds of the play clock. So it's just like the NFL. The play ends, the whistle blows, ending the play immediately, the 40-second clock starts. So you couldn't run another play within the first 10 seconds. Teams like Oregon do that once in a while. Now, 10
doesn't
seconds
happen often.
10 seconds is ridiculously fast to get the next play off. So it doesn't happen very often, but Saban was one. Brett Bielema was another who was very outspoken and wrote this long thing
the
about
Tennessee well, guy?
Arkansas.
He brought
Arkansas.
Up
sickle cell.
Yeah. He brought, but I believe he brought up a specific
trait,
name.
Yeah, everybody has the trait, a guy that died.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that. If you want to talk about data not supporting something, tell me that the data caused these problems with these people because of the plays were going within the first 10
right.
seconds of a play clock.
It's asinine.
When it happens so infrequently, it's ridiculous. And all it is
two old school coaches who can't
who
keep
want
up.
To get their defensive personnel oh, time to change and all this.
Yeah.
And
right.
you know,
dinks.
It'd be like, you know, the Patriots when they had the Patriots game against Denver 2 years ago here.
Right.
The one here that we went with the turbo
right.
no huddle.
Right.
Denver coming out the next week and say, hey, you shouldn't be able to snap a playoff in the first 10 seconds. You know, what does it sound like?
Right.
Sore.
Sour
loser.
Grapes.
Sour grapes.
And
sore
it's
loser.
Even worse when you're sour grapes and you have won the national title. Like, it's not even really costing you. So I could see if you, like, I can't compete because of this. You're competing just fine. If you hadn't kicked an asinine field goal, you might have won the national title again.
Let's see, Tyler from that's New York City, in your opinion, what will be the most disappointing, surprising, and frustrating thing that will happen next season? What's the most surprising?
Well, Fred thinks the most disappointing thing is going to be going 10-6 and getting
disappointing,
knocked out the first
they'll
round.
Sign Emmanuel Sanders and Brady won't have any faith in him. He won't throw him. That'll be both disappointing.
That's a great question, but impossible.
Frustrating.
Well, disappointing, they won't win the Super Bowl. That'll be disappointing.
Right.
Like.
Like, surprising.
They win the Super Bowl.
Frustrating.
Surprising they won't make the playoffs.
For Paul, they win the Super Bowl.
They won't make the playoffs? Surprising? I mean,
oh, that would be shocking.
I have no idea what the personnel is even going to be.
What was one unexpected? What's the good
he
one?
He didn't necessarily
Gronk
say
stays
Patriots.
Healthy. How about yeah. Gronk plays a whole season?
And that's surprising?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't think that would be surprising?
I think he's due to play a whole season.
He's coming off
yeah,
a 20
in 2015.
ACL.
After he sits this one out.
He's due. He's going to sit out the season.
Yeah.
You're back on that bandwagon?
I never was off the bandwagon.
He never left that idiot
a former
bandwagon.
Patriot agrees with you, you know.
Who's that?
A former Patriot agrees with Eric on that.
Who?
Someone that we know directly from someone that works here. Might be married to someone who is a former Patriot.
Oh.
Agrees
what?
With Eric.
Oh.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't either.
Somebody works here is married to a former Patriot. We
yes.
talk to her every day.
Yes.
He believes that Gronk should sit out.
What does he know?
I didn't say he knew anything. I was simply saying that someone out there who agrees with
okay.
Eric, we don't often find that.
Did he read my commentary? And then,
probably.
I doubt that.
Okay.
Okay.
Andy's looking at me like, what are we even talking about? He's
you do know who we're talking about,
he's
right?
He's ready
you
to
know.
Come across the
know.
Table and yell at me.
Nakware in Chicago. Most people call me just Q.
Suck
you. He writes in, I'm a longtime listener. Just wanted to get your opinion on some potential offseason moves. I want your thoughts on how likely or possible you think they are and how they would affect the team if possible. Re-signing Aqib Talib and also bringing in free agents Hakeem Nicks on a one-year prove-it deal, Michael Johnson, Red Bryant, or Everson Griffin. Ideally two of the three. I'm not sure what would be more likely or possible. Then addressing strong safety in the draft, followed by tight end and guard. We could then fill any remaining gaps with our later round draft picks and heady veterans in the remainder of free agency. Let me know your thoughts. Keep up the good work. Thanks for giving me my weekly dose of Patriots news and maintaining the best sports podcast around.
Thanks, Q.
And in case you
our
struggled
Q factor
earlier,
high.
My,
yes.
My name is pronounced Nakware.
Naquare. Now, what is that? What is the?
I don't know.
We're making the rounds today.
It's from Chicago.
We had Wong. We had Ahmed something. We had Naquare.
Yeah, sure.
Good no, like names. Bill Smith.
Did you see him like
international?
Could you see him introducing himself to Belichick, saying, "You know, I'm Naquare. They call me Q."
Yeah.
And then Bill. Naquare.
What do you think of Hakeem Nicks?
Yeah, no.
I love the one-year deal idea. I think it's a phenomenal idea. I don't know if he's looking for that.
Yeah, I don't think that Nicks is going to be signing any one-year deals anytime soon.
But Macklin did it.
Yeah, he was coming off a torn ACL.
No, I know, but, you know, Tlaib did it. There's been plenty of guys of late that have kind of rolled the dice. If he's willing to roll the dice, I'll keep the dice here.
There's a lot of different guys that he was looking for two of.
Michael Johnson, Red Bryant, or Everson Griffin.
Yeah, those are...
Johnson Bryant.
Yeah,
two of those three guys are high-end free agents.
Yes.
So I don't think you're going to get Hakeem Nicks, Michael Johnson,
cap is crap.
Red Bryant.
Cap is crap.
No, but I just don't think you're going to sign all
high-end
free agents.
No, we're going to be aggressive, Fred said aggressive.
I don't think there are many teams that even the aggressive teams that signed
backtracked.
All high-end free agents.
Dolphins were aggressive last year and hired whatever.
Yeah, I know. Signed.
Signed Mike Wallace. And they signed Danelle Ellerbe.
Yes. And the tight end from the Jets.
Well, that wasn't a high-end.
Well, but he got hurt.
He's a pretty good player.
He was a pretty good
player. Yeah, but he was coming off of bad. They got him for
Dustin Keller?
Next to nothing.
Yeah, Dustin Keller, Mike
Wallace.
I'll
take that if they can get him for a Dustin Keller deal.
Brent Grimes.
Grimes was a big...
I mean, they had a high-end free agent class.
They did. You're right. They had Ellerbe, Grimes...
So are we going to be
Wallace?
Aggressive like that?
Yeah.
Can you stop watching the fishing show? I'm okay with boobs. Boobs is natural. We are hardwired to see boobs.
You are so underestimating
distracted.
Babe Winkleman.
They get this fly fishing show on. It's very
distracting. Babe,
right?
There's Babe. Babe Winkleman.
Thanks, Babe. I'm going to stick around for a while.
Plus, you don't even fish. You're a wannabe pretend fisherman.
They're not showing my girl on Days of Our Lives.
No, how many times have you been fly fishing total?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
I used to go a lot, yeah.
Where?
Used to.
I've been to... Colorado a few times.
Idaho.
Idaho a few times up in the White River in New Hampshire and Vermont.
Why is it going to be white?
That's what it's called.
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you had like 20
Michael
times,
Johnson,
100
Andy.
Times?
Oh, probably, you know, over 20.
Here we go, Paul.
And do you still have all your equipment?
Oh, yeah.
Here's my
does your equipment still work?
You wore some of it.
No, but like,
from Beth? Yeah,
don't you have like
it.
Special flies
I
and
do.
All
I
the
have,
sets
I have
of them?
As I was leaving today, so I was going to be watching Days of Our Lives to see if my girl's
I have
so why don't you go?
It's just.
You've worked here forever. You have like a month and a half's vacation.
I don't like to do it half-assed. If I go, I have to do it right. I need to go to the right place and.
You just said you can go to the White River, so it's not even like you have to travel to Idaho.
Yeah, but it's...
But he doesn't think that's doing it, quote, right.
So then fly out to Idaho.
Yeah, okay.
You're rich. You have plenty of vacation time.
Why
just
you,
do it.
Why are you yelling at him?
I know.
You know when he goes, and he, like, he sighs?
I'm not rich.
Maybe he'd sigh but less if he went fly fishing a couple times a year.
But aren't there things that you would like to do a lot that you can't do a lot? Just
the,
because you don't have time.
Aren't the things that you used
situation.
To do before you got married and had kids that you
oh,
don't
God,
do anymore?
Yes.
Yeah, so shut up.
But you just got rid you just got rid of your kid. You got the
I
kid
just got
out
rid
the
of
door.
My kid.
Yeah.
He is out the door, no longer a consideration.
He's in college. Yeah. He is still
and
a
And Nikki wouldn't want to take a little, you know, 4-day trip.
Every penny I have is going to be going toward college.
I like when he cries poor.
It's true. Taz in Toronto says
how's the Lexus running?
I've just seen
the hybrid Lexus.
On the transaction history that the Vikings released tight end John Carlson. I liked him coming out of the draft five
Me
or
too.
6 years ago, but he hasn't done much.
Yeah,
with our need for another tight end, wouldn't a guy like this be an upgrade over Hooman or maybe our number two tight end?
It would
be
an upgrade.
Unbelievable upgrade over what you have. And
Hooman is our number two tight end.
I threw that
now
out
now he's
there.
Our number one tight end until
no,
Gronk comes
wow.
back.
You know what I mean.
I threw that
well,
out
you
there
have Gronk sitting out the year, so.
Yeah.
He's
our
number
one tight end.
Number one
tight
he's
end.
Not on our roster. He's a free agent.
Gronk?
No, the Hooman.
Oh.
Still on the roster until March 11th.
I was going to say. Yeah, I know. He'll be back.
Hooman?
Yeah.
I think he'll be back.
I think he'll be back.
Mulligan's the guy we got to replace.
I'm not so sure he'll be back.
Where's he going?
I don't think they like him much.
Why?
I thought they did like him
that
much.
That whole restricted free agent thing, they immediately made him knock it down. I don't think they like him much.
I think they know what he is. Jeff Jagosinski.
Let's put it this way.
Just
if he's back, it's not a good sign.
For who?
For the Patriots.
I think he's a fine
what are you talking
third
about?
Tight.
The Colts.
No, I didn't know if you meant for him. I think he's a fine third tight end. If you have Gronk, a draft pick, and him, I think you're fine.
Well, if he's your third tight end, then they'll probably not want to re-sign him because they're not going to want to give him any money to be the third tight end.
Well, veteran minimum. He's not going to get any money anywhere.
I think
why are you hating on who, man?
I'm not hating on him. I just don't think he's very good.
He's not. That's why he's called a third tight end.
But I don't.
And he's not even the best third tight end in football.
So yeah, from year three to year four, he's going to make less, is what you're saying. I don't think he will. I think somebody will pay him something.
Didn't he make the minimum last year with incentives?
That the Patriots will not want to give him as the third tight end.
Who in the hell is going to give him anything?
Who, man?
Dan writes in from San Antonio.
I hate the way he paints you like you absolutely hate the guy. I have really no strong opinions on the who man at all. I just think
you're running him out of town.
If you're going to be a third tight end, you make you're like you a second year in the league money. And you're making like $400,000. I mean,
so he'll make
$680,000 like
or something. He's not going to make a million.
Dan in San Antonio, I'm wondering your thoughts about next season's schedule. Does it worry you? Any games that stick
comes out mid-April. I don't know it.
How do you think we'll do overall? I think last season we lucked out a little bit when we played some tough teams at home. For instance, the Saints and Broncos, we could have easily lost had it been away from home.
Could have easily lost and it was at home.
Also, the Browns and Steelers gave us a serious problem. Had it been away, those could have ended different too.
Steelers
didn't give us a problem.
Steelers could not have laid down and bent over anymore.
It wouldn't be.
Steelers made a little run there in the second half, and then they
and Ryan Clark gave up on that.
Cover anybody?
They rolled over and died.
Yeah. Dick LeBeau was dead.
It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that we end we ended that season 10-6 or worse. I think many of us overlooked.
We could have happened.
I think many of us overlooked those things because of that Cinderella story that happened throughout the year.
Because we're focusing on the 14-2 that we should have been.
I think the AFC title game was a serious reality check. So
that may be right.
Yes,
that may be right. That's a
some of us saw it coming.
An overly negative look at the.
Yeah,
I
picked the Broncos.
7-9,
and that's an overly negative.
I have never been wrong in a Patriots Broncos playoff game.
Oh yeah.
He's 2-0.
In the modern era.
In the modern era. I was wrong in like 86 or 7. Cried.
You have no idea how much that safety just cost me.
Cried.
Quote my history teacher the next day.
Let's go to Eldridge on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey,
Mr. Barilli.
You chill, man. Y'all are rad. Y'all crazy.
Yes, we are.
Y'all just crazy. But that guy's email, surprisingly, if Mr. Kraft and Bill decide, okay, this is again, let's go ahead and load up and win this third Super Bowl. Theory two. That'd be some very darn surprise. Just go ahead and get the ring this year and just redo.
But how do you know, how do you know when they've crossed that line? Like, what is, because Fred expects them to be aggressive. So when have they crossed the line to loading up? Like, how do you know? Like, what is that?
Well,
you just know it when you see it.
We knew it in 2007
The reality is, last 4 years, you got close, you can win the dance. You got, you know, heavily on defense, and all of a sudden, fell apart. Offense, fall apart. You're getting close, but you ain't getting the ring. So, like I said, sometime or another, you got to quit being the bridesmaid and be the bride.
You're the best, Eldridge. I could listen to you all day long.
You got to. You know what I mean? You have to.
But don't we all think they're relatively close, as you said, Fred? They're a few players away. No. Okay, sorry.
No.
Well, you kind of agree with Eldridge.
I do.
They're significant players away.
Oh, yeah.
They can run, cover, and hit it. Like Seattle just showed how to stop Denver that we couldn't do. And get some receivers on the outside that scares the H out of some corners and some safeties that can take it to the distance. We ain't going to ever have that.
Fred, this is usually your time to chime in.
I think you should be yelling at him and telling him 12-4.
There should be some sniffs coming.
I think there are a few players away from being right back in there as Super Bowl contender, but they got to get those players. They got to make some moves here.
And maybe more players as we grow.
That's really not what I was looking for.
Standing pat is not an option. Standing pat is not an option this year.
Oh, you mean to tell me you would have another good corner, a good pass rusher, another good receiver on the outside, and one good lineman that's, you know, irrelevant. So really, and a strong and a good safety. Because the two we got, I'm glad they got rid of Gregory. McCourty, like I told you for a couple of years, I'm not impressed in one way, shape, form, or fashion.
Well, you're talking five guys that you mentioned that they need to bring in. And these are guys that you expect to contribute right away. These aren't, you know, projects. You want five serious contributors right away. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to get all five of those guys that you mentioned.
Wait, the corner one, is that in addition to Tlaib, or is that you just need a number one corner?
You need another corner with Tlaib. Okay. Skinner's not it. I'm sorry. hitter too slow.
So, so I'll make that six then because
you need two corners.
I count Talib as a guy you got to get.
You
got
to get him, yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, Andy's already on record. If they lose Talib, then
the sky is falling. Yeah. No, I said the sky is falling.
Well, he said the season was over.
Okay.
Andy's on record. The sky is falling if they lose Talib.
I believe it too.
They can still win the Super Bowl,
and
though.
Don't get Revis.
The sky's falling.
No, if they don't replace Talib with a Revis, a high number one corner.
Well, there isn't a Revis. There's Revis. Well, there's only one.
Pro Football Focus says he was the best.
But he might as well be here already based on everything I'm reading and hearing, except I didn't read it anywhere.
Well, no, they have
relevance.
To sign Fitzgerald first, and then they'll bring in Revis, and then Julius Peppers.
Peppers will be off the edge, and we're fine.
Right. All right, thanks for the call, Eldridge. Eldridge, you know,
he brings
nothing but consistent.
They got to get better.
Well, he has branched out.
Yeah. It's not just about wide receivers anymore. Now it's about secondary.
Right.
That may say something about the team getting worse. he sees more needs. Once he only saw receiver as a need.
Olivier's on the line from Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Long time no talk.
I know. Where you been?
I've been traveling overseas, but I haven't missed a single podcast. So,
you spreading the word?
By the way.
Are you spreading the word everywhere you go over there? You should tell people, listen, PFW in progress, it's not just football, it's funny.
Absolutely, that's what I've been doing.
Kind of a slogan.
Doing the
it is kind of a slogan.
With other people from different teams as well. And there is one of my colleagues, and his name is Fletcher, he's a great Pats fan, and I'd like to thank him for his service as well. He's a Vietnam vet, and he's a huge Patriots fan. He told me he was going to subscribe to PFW Daily.
That's well, welcome aboard, Fletch.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
So hopefully he hears that. But, yeah, I've been traveling a lot to Europe, but everything is good.
Okay.
And I want to spill a game with you.
Okay, go.
How many draft prospects from Rutgers do you think we're going to get this year in the draft?
All of them.
None. Although I was intrigued by the big Brandon Coleman receiver. Massive. Like 6'6", just a big ol', doesn't do much, but.
That'll be the Rutgers guy they don't go after.
Well, and we still have Harrison, that's what I keep telling people. We did that last year with the pooper.
Yeah, that's true. What do you guys make out of that all, that Revis, propaganda at this point? Do you think it's just to try to get Talib to be reasonable, or do we think that we've got a real, I'm sure that we are entertaining maybe doing something with that guy, but.
No, I think it's organic idiocy from the media. Yeah. I think it has nothing to do with the New England Patriots. Sometimes we think these things were whispers or this or that. I think this is media idiocy that just blew up on its own.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that they do have an offer out to Talib. They made him an offer, I'm sure.
I gotta think that. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Howe reported that they were getting together with Talib, but it was with his people at the combine. So I have to think there is something on the table. This is the ballpark we're in. Right. My guess is there's two things. There's the low Patriots, the high Talib, and are we close enough?
And he's gonna go see what the market bears, and then the Patriots will see if they want to, match that.
The problem is
and
the market's gonna bear more for him than it did to Welker. You play this game, there's gonna be more teams with more interest.
Yeah, that's true. And to your point, Fred, I think that they made an offer, and the response that you've seen in the media from Talib as well, I expect to be paid like a top corner. So I think that was the response to the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyways, before I let you go, guys, I will love to buy you lunch next week.
Oh, I'd love to eat your lunch next week.
A long time.
Lunch. I don't know why people look at that. I want to eat his lunch.
Thanks, Olivier.
I didn't say his tube steak or something. Did he say Welker's? Where did he put Edelman as?
I think that's his most feared return man.
Really?
Although it says top five, so I don't know if that was number five or number one.
No. They started at five because I saw Hester, I saw Josh Cribbs.
Then it's number one.
They were going in inverse order or whatever.
And they showed him make a good tackle on him. But it also showed Edelman return one to the house, which must have been in that 50-something game.
So Pat McAfee saying, pay the man.
From Luck's first year.
Dangerous.
Shane writes in, at this point, I don't think the Patriots will re-sign Talib. Reports are that he wants top cornerback money, and the Patriots are never going to pay it. Can you guys confirm the rumors that the Patriots are interested in Revis?
No.
I think we would love to come to the Patriots and beat up on the Jets twice a year. I think we could get him for a 3-year, $10 million per year contract. With regard to the draft, I'd like to see the Patriots move up for a true number one wide receiver. If Watkins is still available at 5 or 6, I think we could do a deal with the Raiders or Falcons for 2 number 1s and a couple later round picks. The strategy would be to let Edelman go, move Amendola into the slot until he gets injured, and let Dobson and Tompkins rotate at the number 2 wideout slot.
we would then need to go to the best available tight end in the second round. Your thoughts?
Just to start, somebody emailed it to me. This started with crap that Florio threw against the wall. That is where this started. I believe it was March 1st. It was dated. And it was crap. Absolutely nothing. Crap. It started with
what part?
Revis was traded last year. So as a new regime takes over in Tampa, you could think that they might want to trade him. And if some teams were going to get him, the teams that would trade for him would be a team that are good and feel like they're close to winning a Super Bowl. So two of those teams in that category would be the Broncos and the Patriots.
I think I remember.
It's crap.
He mentioned that the current regime isn't as married to Revis.
Right.
Because they weren't the ones.
It's all Florio speculation, Florio crap against the wall, and people ran with it.
I don't look at it the same way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the guy showed me the update, so that was clearly what got everybody's bottle hot and bothered. We're going to talk about it.
I think it's a very common thing in the NFL when a guy has a veteran player, has a big contract with a bonus due, that guy could potentially be available. I don't think that's just crap.
But
now,
if
we're linking him to the Patriots, now I'm with Andy.
Well,
that's crap.
That's a big part of the crap I'm talking about.
But I don't think it's irrational for Patriots fans to start talking about a guy, a high-profile guy that they think potentially could be available, and whether or not the Patriots would be interested in getting him.
Patriots fans do it all the time.
Yeah, and I don't
think
there's
anything
wrong with it.
But the Boston Globe doesn't write a breakdown of how he could fit into the team's
cap. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
A lot of people are talking about potentially getting him. Can it happen? Ben Volen says yes.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I thought that was somewhat educational. He broke it down.
I'm not as mad about it as you are, I guess.
It's a lot of smoke where no one is even saying the smoke is coming from a flame.
I don't think he said
it's like smog and they mistook it for smoke.
I think he presented it exactly what it was. It's his thinking, something that he would like to do.
But he is lending credence to it. But by nature, when the Boston Globe writes about it, it's adding some validity to the story. Because if the Boston Globe writes about it, people assume, rightly or wrongly, that there is something more there than Mike Florio crap.
I think in a lot of cases you're right, but in this case, I think he clearly said this is just his thinking. I think that was pretty clear.
He said it several ways, ways.
I think you're right in a lot of cases.
I think he's validating the crap that Florio threw against the wall.
Yeah. Well, no.
But
he
took
the crap that Florio said and didn't dismiss it out of hand. That's all he was saying. Look, here's how it would happen. Because a lot of people said, there's no way that could. He's saying, here's how it could happen if they were thinking of it, and I would do it. That's what he's saying.
But what if Florio had written that the Lions have cap issues, and Calvin Johnson is starting to get upset, so the Lions could trade him, and he'd only want to go to a place with an elite quarterback. The Broncos and the Patriots are two places with elite quarterback. It's like, you can do that. If you want to sell that, you can sell it to anybody on any player.
No, I know, but...
Right, but is there a chance that he's available?
I don't know. I don't know that Darrell Revis is available.
See, I think
there's
he's
actually
available.
The only
just
link,
my opinion.
The
I
only
think he's
link
available.
In Florio is... Most people believe the Bucs are keeping Revis, and that's the only thing that's a link to something else.
Yeah.
There is nothing to link to Revis is available.
I think if someone wanted to give them picks for Revis, they would take it. I don't think anybody will because I think it's too much money.
You're talking about a
draft
guy.
Draft picks, first round pick.
I think everybody is available for the right price.
I know, but you're talking
about... The Million Dollar Man said everybody's got a price.
So you think that would be outrageous to suggest that they wouldn't trade him for anything less than a first round pick? Just one first round pick?
No.
So it's not like anybody's available for a price.
No,
I don't think anybody would give them a first round pick for a guy they would have to pay $16 million.
Would we be doing this with Calvin Johnson in my example? Had Florio written this, Patriots are team against a big outside receiver.
Had the history of Revis, we might be.
Yes, I think we just got finished doing this for 3 years with Larry Fitzgerald.
Talking his way out of New York, and he said things even last year the year before.
Because he was misusing him.
Whatever. He's a guy that speaks out. If Calvin Johnson was like that and this was his second team and, he was making twice as much as any corner in the league, we might be saying that about Calvin Johnson. The circumstances around Revis make this kind of...
I think we absolutely would be, and I think we just got finished doing this for 3 years with Larry Fitzgerald until he restructured his contract, and now he can't be dealt, so it's no longer an issue.
And, we don't hear all the other podcasts from the other teams, but they might have been talking about Fitzgerald the same way we had been.
I bet a lot of them had, and especially the good teams.
No, podcasts, fine. I think talk radio is a different beast. Now, I do think it's interesting...
It's the same thing, and we're better.
No. Different beast than writing a story in the Boston Globe.
I think that is
a different beast.
But again,
yeah,
I think
had this been on Bleacher Report, I would have said, it's Bleacher Report. It's what they do. Anytime they can latch on to a clicker, and this is a clicker. If you say Darrell Revis Patriots, that's a click. So click.
You think it was irresponsible for that?
If he has any sources, if Ben Volen on football is worth his price, so if he's Ron Borges, and if he makes a call to Tampa and they say, if you're in that job, you should have a source somewhere in Tampa. I really don't see any way they're going to trade him. And he has a source in New England that goes, I don't know where this is coming from. We have not discussed this internally. I think it's irresponsible to write that story.
No, see, I don't.
Because now you are simply just bowing down to clicks and purchases.
No.
You have become a tabloid.
You are a tabloid
National Enquirer, boobs on the cover, and Hitler's alive.
He didn't just say, oh, this could happen. He broke it down on how it might happen.
He didn't even do that. He said how it could happen if he wanted it to.
Right.
So why didn't he do that with anybody else? Why didn't he do it with J.J. Watt?
Because no one's talking about anybody else. They're talking about Darrell Revis.
I'm talking about it right now. Patriots should trade for J.J. Watt. He's unhappy. He doesn't want to lose
anymore.
That's
one person
they have
talking
the number
about
one
it.
Pick.
It's not the same thing.
So I'm not Florio, so it doesn't matter. Because Florio started this. It's all crap from Florio.
He started it. So why don't you eliminate Florio because of your hatred for Florio and just say that people are talking about it?
Because they just asked you about it yesterday
on WEEI.
Yeah, 9 days or 8 days or however many days after.
It's been going on for weeks.
People have been talking about Revis for a while.
For weeks.
Us!
No, not just us. Come on.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any valid
Revis
people talking about it.
Revis is making $16 million a year. Anytime a guy...
Okay, he's on a bad team.
Oh, now I know. If a guy makes a ton of money, that makes him an automatic Patriot.
Yes. That's why Larry Fitzgerald 2 years ago...
Who's the highest paid guy at every... Mario Williams should be a Patriot. He's making a ton of money.
He should be a Patriot.
Let
me finish.
Revis is making $16 million
a year, which is a lot more than any cornerback. That makes him fodder for discussion, not just in New England, everywhere.
But because he's on a bad team.
Denver Broncos, I read that they might try to go make
You know
a
where
run
you read
him.
That? Florio!
You know?
It's the National Enquirer coming to the NFL.
Hatred for Florio.
No,
that's
I have pathological hatred for idiocy. Like, we mock emailers
who
should the Patriots get Champ Bailey. That's all Florio did, but we write stories in the Boston Globe, supposedly an international paper that carries the Olympics and covers everything.
The Patriots would take it to a different level. The Patriots would say, should we trade Ryan Mallett for Darrell
Revis?
Okay,
so the Bleacher Report wrote it. I mean, the Boston Globe wrote it this morning, so now it's news.
Listen, I don't think...
I really think you're getting very sensitive about this.
I do, too, and I think that you're really being...
I don't really know why we're arguing, because I really don't care that much.
I know. I'm really surprised.
I just think you're being awfully critical of something that a lot of people are talking about.
Right.
I don't see what Volen said today.
A lot of people talk about a lot of stuff on the internet, in chat rooms, and in emails. But when it goes to the pages
of
the Boston Globe,
you don't care what your fans have to say.
Revis, no, I do.
Revis is
but
one
I don't
of those
pay
guys,
them the same credence as the Boston Globe.
Revis is one of those guys that are always in those
He didn't
type
give
of
it any credence, Andy.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
He wrote about it.
He wrote about how they could do it if they wanted to.
So I never mentioned
that. So next in the series should be how they get Mario Williams.
Never once.
Next in the series should be how they get Mario Williams.
No one's
They've
talking
had a
about getting Mario Williams. Why
oh,
would they write a story
why?
About it? I don't know why fans
because
talk about
Mario
acquiring one
right.
guy and not another
because
guy.
The
I don't
National
know why.
Enquirer
All I know is they are talking
it against
about
the wall.
Darrell Revis. Not
Florio
Mario Williams.
Threw it against the wall.
Not Calvin Johnson. They
the
were talking
Globe.
About Larry Fitzgerald, and people wrote about it. Now they're talking about Darrell Revis, so someone wrote about
right.
it.
Right. Who's
I see
they?
Wrong
Who's
with
they?
It. A lot of people.
A lot of people.
You
a
hear
lot
it?
Of people.
You hear it on
your
the radio?
Barber. Your barber.
Revis is
You hear
cool.
it on the radio?
Revis.
Yes, after Florio wrote it.
Revis has been talked about not just
Who
the-
cares how it originated, Andy? It's generated
oh, if
discussion.
That's, okay, if that's your barometer, if you don't care where something comes from, then fine.
Do you believe that Darrell Revis
We didn't
Revis
go to the moon. It was
trade?
In an L.A. studio.
Do
we
you
did,
believe
you know,
that Darrell
polio
Revis...
Polio never got cured. It just died on
okay,
its own.
Do you,
that's
Andy,
another,
let me, wait, wait, wait.
That's another fantastic comparison.
What are we talking
His
about?
Straight, really apt comparison today.
What are we talking about? If you don't care where it comes from.
You know what? When I
you
think
don't
cover
care where
corner,
it comes from.
I think polio.
You don't care where your information comes from.
Hold on. Wait.
First thing I think of when I think of cover corner is polio.
If Florio had not written what he wrote.
Yes. I don't think this would be out there.
And everything... No one had mentioned, you know, Revis and the Patriots in the same breath. Would you be okay with Volen having been the first one to just speculate?
No.
Why?
Because Volen did it.
You're throwing crap against the wall.
You're not.
You're on football.
With Revis's history, I'm you're not, throwing crap against the wall?
Yes, you're throwing crap right. against... Oh, see, everybody has a history of something.
Well, okay, and based on that history, you write certain things.
All right, so... Andy,
and when it comes to Revis, you write
so
about...
So Revis is likely to be here. Why?
He has a,
he didn't say he was likely to be
he
here.
He never said that.
No, it's likely enough for him to invest his
efforts and space in the Boston Globe to a story. Right?
He just cracked me up.
All right.
Wait a minute. Before we go, I have one more thing. My favorite line is, I don't even care about this.
I really don't.
Screaming at me. Let's backtrack a little bit. Florio started.
Yes.
Okay, that really rankles.
Supposedly.
Your
because I don't know.
You don't even know.
I believe that's how it started.
But wait, I went to his post, and I thought maybe there would be a link within his post that went to something about Revis available. The only actual link in there says Tampa, which is expected to keep Revis or something.
Well, then
what are we talking about?
I want you to be as honest with me as you can.
Do
okay?
I hate Florio? Yes.
Yep, but now, okay.
What was more
you wrote
right?
You wrote something on Amendola today.
Yes.
Right?
Based very
on something
good.
That Dan Pompey wrote.
Yes.
And a lot of people have talked about it since.
Yes.
So admit, you have no respect for Florio, but you do have respect for Dan Pompey.
Dan Pompey.
So one of them was worth following up on with your opinion.
Well, I have
and
more respect, far more respect for Dan Pompey.
Exactly.
I don't believe he ever reported Terry Bradshaw
died. That's
what
this is all about.
No, it isn't.
If Dan Pompey Florio wrote what Florio wrote, then it would be okay with Volant.
No. You need to go read the Florio piece. He reported nothing. He wrote like 10 paragraphs.
Pompey reported nothing. All he reported was that the Patriots are supposedly, according to some people,
right.
He's on the block.
So don't you
think that's well worth writing what you wrote today.
No, you don't think that.
Absolutely.
That
what you wrote today is well worth commenting on.
You don't think Pompey had somebody from some team tell him.
I have
him,
no idea,
you
know, Randy.
Patriots are floating the image. Well, then you have no respect for any journalists.
No, but what I'm saying
is. My point
is,
I have journalists and I have Florio.
Okay.
They're not the same.
So that's exactly my
Pompey
point.
Pompey journalists.
Exactly going.
Florio
exactly
not.
This edition of PFW in Progress.
I'm not done.
That was overtime, baby.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.